All right, welcome to Joel Radio. How you doing, people?
Malaikum salam.
Corey Hall, how you doing?
L'chaim.
Ugh.
Any other greetings?
I don't even know any other.
Ohayo gozaimasu.
Yeah, ohayo gozaimasu.
Guten Tag.
Konnichiwa.
Yeah.
Welcome to Joel Radio. We're going to run down the Oscars for you.
Bienvenue.
I'd like to run the Oscars down with a truck. Kill them forever. We watched the Oscars. You know, we did our big SNL thing last week, and then SNL 40 came out. We could probably talk about that if you'd like, Corey. You want to do a little SNL? Not like every show and website that has ever existed.
We broke down that list last time, and now
here's what I want to do. I want to take a bow and talk about what a good job we did with that.
All right.
And how...
When have we ever congratulated ourselves?
Well, the point was, though, that we said guys were funny and that guys were low-rated.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And they would be great, and then guys like Norm were great on that show. So SNL 40, we'll get
into that. Speaking of bloated, endless debacles, there was the Oscars.
Well, I know, and then we did our movie show where we told people what the best movies were. And we were basically unanimous in our feelings about the Oscar-nominated Best Pictures.
Yeah.
And, of course... The Oscars themselves couldn't have given a shit about our opinion. The guys who saw every movie didn't matter to anyone.
I did a list. You know, I filled out a bracket, and I thought Keaton was going to win.
Yes,
Best Actor.
Right.
I think that was the only major category.
That was a mistake on your part because EW's preview, where they predicted.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Screen Actors Guild. Eddie Redmayne won that, and that has never missed on Best Actor.
Okay,
it's 100%
Golden Globe too.
Lockstep. Well, Keaton did, but they had the list of who wins.
No, there were two categories in the Golden Globes.
Right.
So Keaton did win, but that was because there was a comedy category.
Oh, is that what he won in? And Eddie Redmayne won
somehow.
The other one.
Birdman was considered a comedy.
Yeah, see, that didn't make sense.
It was
anyway,
more of a comedy than Theory of Everything.
Anyway, EW did the breakdown of which awards are really the precursors to the Oscars,
uh-huh.
And the Golden Globe, not all that accurate as a precursor to the Oscars.
Less than it used to be, I think.
It's a precursor to the nominations, I think, in a lot of ways, but. Not the actual awards.
Well, didn't like Jim Carrey win the Golden Globe and then never won an Oscar?
There's
stuff like that happening.
There's stuff like that. EW did the whole thing. But anyway, so yeah, you could have... Eddie Redmayne should have been a lock. And that was the problem
Bill
with
Murray.
The Oscars was the locks were the locks. I mean, it was Julianne Moore, it was Patricia Arquette, and it was...
It was very predictable.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons, and you really had no... there was no reason to think anyone else had a chance in those categories.
I mean, the Oscars are... pretty much always predictable.
Best Picture, I think people saw that as at least a two-way race between Boyhood and Birdman.
Right.
There was, I guess, some late push for American Sniper just because it had all that success.
Right.
But,
the Oscars.
Do you want to get into it? Let's get into it.
What do you want to do, this or SNL first?
We'll do the Oscars first. All right. I mean, maybe we can get it over. So Neil Patrick Harris is the host. He comes out. He sings. He dances. He's hosted the Tonys and I believe the Emmys in the past, and people have really liked him. He did the Oscars, did the exact same thing he did at those shows, and apparently nobody liked it except me. I thought it was. Here's my opinion on. I'm going to review all the Oscar hosts in the history of the Oscars. Okay, I'm going to do that right now in 2 seconds. None of them were good. None of them were good. They're varying degrees of bad. And I think the problem with Neil Patrick Harris that people have is that Neil Patrick Harris made some jokes at people's expense. He had a little meanness to him, which Letterman was the ultimate meanie, okay? And he's considered one of the worst guys to do it. So my feeling with the Oscars is it's not about who is the good host or the bad host. It's about seemingly meanness of the presenter. If it's Seth MacFarlane... Now, there is incompetence, which would be like James Franco, Anne Hathaway.
They don't.
That was incompetence.
What you're saying, and you're right, is they don't really want anybody.
It's about tone.
They don't really want anybody funny at the Oscars.
It's all about tone. That's what it's about. Ellen DeGeneres tries to offend nobody, and people universally like Ellen. Here's who doesn't like Ellen. People who like comedy. Ellen only offends people who wanted to laugh.
Here's the problem.
That's the only thing.
Here's the fucking problem with the Oscars. There is no audience for it.
No.
If you're the host.
Yeah.
Because the people in the room, the people in the Kodak Theater, are a bunch of celebrities who get their asses kissed. Yeah. And they get their balls oiled and lubed all day long.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear your shitty jokes.
Yeah.
As evidenced by Oprah, the most humorless fucking glob of shit on earth, who, when he lobbed a joke at her, just looked at him like,
"Yeah,
she no-sold that joke."
Yeah, I told you that on the phone.
I mean, anybody with eyeballs observed.
Oprah,
that.
You can't make fun of Oprah. Oprah will never laugh.
No.
If you do make a joke at Oprah's expense, Oprah will not laugh, and they'll cut to Oprah, and it's going to look like your joke bombed. Now, that doesn't mean that the joke
was. It's not even that. It was that Oprah gave him a look like, "What are you, some kind of. I'm Oprah, for God's sake.
Yeah, you.
I'm an untouchable deity.
Douchebag."
She gave a smile and kind of a joke.
Sitcom
but
actor.
And it was horrible.
Well, and that's the problem is that, you know, there's no way to. If Oprah laughs at that. First of all, that joke wasn't good anyway.
It was not a good joke.
It was a weird thing about.
Oprah wouldn't sell. Like I said, Louis C.K., Bill Burr, Sarah Silverman, they could all go up there and roast her.
And it's funny that, you know, the Golden Globes, they'll do Ricky Gervais or Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and they're mean. And people seem to want to laugh at that. Like, the Golden Globes just has a different vibe.
There's a level, though, because the Golden Globes put on Ricky Gervais, and he was a little too mean.
Right.
Like, but I'm saying.
They brought him back for, like, 4 years, though, 3 years or something.
Well, but I'm, okay, because the audience at home liked Ricky Gervais.
Okay.
The difficulty is there's people like you and me that want a funny guy up there. Dave Attell hosting the Oscars would be great.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Why do you believe that the audience in the room is tight at the Oscars but more loose at the Golden Globes?
They're drunk at the Golden Globes.
Well, okay.
They're sitting at a table drinking.
Well, they can drink at the Oscars. They have to drink at the bar,
I think.
I guess
the stakes are lower at the Golden Globes.
I think so, too.
I mean, if people are never going to say, "Don't give me a Golden Globe."
Right.
They'll probably think that's... I mean, it's not considered a prestigious award.
Mm-hmm.
They're all sitting in, like, kind of cocktail hour, like, they're sitting at dinner tables.
Right.
They're sitting around in circular tables drinking. It's a little more collegial. It's in a ballroom.
It's in a ballroom and not in a theater. Here's the difference. The Golden Globes is the kickoff of Oscar season.
Right.
And the Oscars is the end of Oscar season.
You got another crack at it?
Well, here's the thing. If you come off as a good sport at the Golden Globes,
right,
people are more likely to award you down the road at the Oscars. The problem at the Oscars is you can be a dick at the Oscars because that's the last shot you're getting. You know, that's the last we're going to see of Eddie Redmayne for a year. You know what I mean?
Well,
where we don't have to look at him again. And so I think people, the stakes are higher, of course, because it's more important as well. But I think there is psychologically at the Golden Globes, everyone has to be a good sport at the Golden Globes. Or else it's you're just going to, you know, you're just, because you
I
know.
I just think it's a more relaxed environment.
But there's also, you're going to do these three or four, you're going to end up doing the SAG Awards, mm-hmm. and you end up going to be doing the Producers Guild and the Independent Spirit Awards. So
it's
you better come off as a good guy or else
like
no one's going to want to see you again.
It's kind of like when you do a week of comedy. And if you roll in on Wednesday and you're an asshole, you know you got like six more shows. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
you're going to have to do two shows on Friday.
I guess, yeah.
And the rest, you know, you don't want to piss off the other guys.
Well, it's like the comic who is headlining on Saturday night and the late show, you know. They'll make their time perfectly on the early shows. And then when it comes to Late Show Saturday, that's where the comic decides to do 20 extra minutes because he knows he's already been paid and there's nothing they can do about it. There's that, too, where people just... It is the Oscars is sort of getting people at their most uptight and their least... the amount of bullshit they can take...
Yeah, well, because
their
the
ability
Oscar,
to
because
to handle
the Oscars
bullshit.
Mean something financially.
Yeah, I guess
it really does. When you win an Oscar, your quote as an actor goes way up.
Yeah,
as a director,
sure,
you get access to better stuff. It means more for the production companies. It means more for the films themselves. You know, a Golden Globe win is a nice thing, and it might give you a little bit of a boost. But it's there's a major financial incentive.
There is,
to
but
win an Oscar.
But again, going back to Neil Patrick Harris. I thought Neil Patrick Harris was absolutely fine. Passing grade.
Well, you know,
on a pass-fail, you can't give him a
failing
grade.
In the long continuum, if you put him... Because I had forgotten Seth MacFarlane stunk the joint up the year before.
Right.
James Franco and Anne Hathaway was maybe the worst.
That was probably the worst modern since in the Billy Crystal era
of hosting
the Oscars.
Hugh Jackman, who people seem to like. I hated Hugh Jackman hosting the Oscars.
Well, that one
because that was very kiss-assy.
But that was also wasn't the Hugh Jackman one the one where they gave the awards in the crowd and they like did the weird it was weird from a production standpoint.
There's not
standpoint.
Much you can really do with the Oscars.
No. And that's the thing is
I think Steve Martin's a pretty good Oscar host.
Well, it was Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin recently. Steve Martin I think has done it by himself but anyway, in the modern history of the Oscars, I feel like Neil Patrick Harris on the meanness scale was probably less mean than Seth MacFarlane, less mean than Letterman, but other than that, he was the meanest of them.
He had some jokes that just went dead silent in the room.
Yeah.
And I thought I kind of what pissed me off about this Oscar. I mean, look, I got to watch the Oscars I watch the Oscars every year.
Yes.
I've often been paid to do it professionally. Yeah. I've been had to, live tweet or blog about shit or I've done Oscar presentations, and it's a tedious chore every time.
It is a chore, and it's always too long.
Okay, I think some of the material I actually enjoyed, because some of the material was a little sharp on this Oscars, but Neil Patrick Harris isn't a... He's not
a comic.
He's a funny guy for a Broadway actor.
Yeah,
he's not a comic.
And I think the writing was below par as well. I don't think the writing of the jokes was great.
No, I could see what the tone they were trying to set was, and the audience wasn't going for it.
But then again, you have these movies, these 8 best pictures,
right,
which are some of the most overly serious, overstuffed bullshit movies. You know, I mean, how do you make a Boyhood joke?
There's not much
you
joke
can't.
About.
I mean, there's... Well, how do you joke about, Stephen Hawking, falling out of his chair? Code breaker.
You know what I thought was great was when they put the hoses on all those black people that were marching for civil rights.
Well, yeah, there's nearly...
They let the dogs loose, they sick German shepherds on
There's
them.
Not really many jokes you can make.
No.
And so, you're kind of left with,
Remember when that gay guy beat the Nazis and then was persecuted for being a fag?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much comedy material.
I mean, it's hard to do. So, I mean, in a way, I don't... my feeling is Ellen offends me because Ellen isn't funny. I'm going to tell you what I'm not offended by.
Uh-huh.
This is what everyone be like me. This is where you should all be like me. Now, here's what never will offend me. Words will never offend me. There's nothing you can say to me. There's nothing you can say about me or anyone else that is offensive. Actions, you can be offended by. I get that. But to sit there and make a joke and be offended to me is just, and I granted some of the stuff, wasn't that funny. I mean, who's the guy that played Martin Luther King?
David Oyelowo.
Okay, David Oyelowo. He goes out to do this bit with David O. And by the way, was that not rehearsed? I'm guessing it wasn't. They leave David out there to just, all he's got to do is tell this joke in a British accent. Or Neil Patrick Harris read the setup. And then he had to read the punchline in a British accent. And he said, it will always seem funnier in a British accent. And then David does it in the worst possible way. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't make it funny at all. And then Neil said, wasn't that funny? And the guy goes, oh, yeah, so. And he kind of just dumped on Neil right to his face. It was like so, it was like every improviser's nightmare that the other, comedian.
The yes and situation.
But, or like the comedian pulls the guy out of the crowd and the guy doesn't play along. Right. It was one of those things.
You always say, there's an unwritten rule in improv that you always say yes.
Oh, I don't believe that's unwritten. I believe that's written in every book. But yes, I believe
I'm
that's
just saying,
it.
I mean,
right.
No.
But I mean, it's an unspoken rule. It's spoken. Yeah, it's
no, everybody.
Yeah, but I'm saying
improv, whenever you say no, the scene ends.
Right. But it's also just you're there to play along. You're there to go.
You know who's a hilarious fucking cut up, wacky guy?
Yeah.
David Oyelowo.
Well, that's the thing. But I mean,
I've heard his stories bust people's guts.
But
here's what the fucking bottom line is. And this relates to everything. And we're going to run into it again in a minute with news anchors. And we're going to run into it in every aspect of society. There's a basic truth. Comedians are funny people. Some comics are terrible, but most, the worst comic is better than Neil Patrick Harris at delivering jokes.
Well, there's a fallacy amongst the general public and amongst actors and people on television that joke telling is easy.
It's not.
Or that joke writing is easy.
It is the hardest goddamn shit. You go to an open mic.
Yeah.
You'll watch dozens of people fail brutally at it.
And it
is the hardest fucking thing to do.
It's, and, you know, and out of, an out of context joke. You know, I mean, see, the problem with you know, I'm not saying Neil Patrick Harris deserved that. He should have played along and just done whatever. But, I mean, that's kind of the deal. Yeah. When the magician brings the guy up out of the crowd, and Neil Patrick, and I'm not saying this because Neil Patrick Harris is a magician, but he is. But, you know, when you say to the guy, check this hoops, there's no breaks in it.
Right.
Okay, do you know how the hoops is done, the Chinese linking rings? Okay. There's a break in the hoop. Right. Okay? There's a break in the hoop. When you bring the guy on, you don't you hold the finger, you put the fingers where the break is. So when you ask the guy if there's a break in the hoop, the guy says no. And all you want this guy to do is to at least go along with the premise of the joke. And granted, it's their fault if they didn't rehearse it. And it's David Oyelowo's fault if I know I'm not pronouncing the name right, I don't give a fuck. We'll never hear from him again. He'll be in the credits. See, I'm not going to go there. Listen.
What? He's going to be in, you're saying
he'll be in the credits of next year's Doctors as the janitor. No, I'm kidding.
Is he going to be in Snow Dogs 3 with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Maybe that's a better joke.
By the way, Cuba was the only guy they didn't wheel out for like, okay, this is another thing that made me incensed. Okay, yeah. David Oyelowo was looking like, wait a second, you know, I didn't get nominated.
Yeah.
He was kind of like, you're making a joke about, people are just so sensitive.
Right, yeah, yeah. And first of all, and we said it on the show when we talked about Selma. He's great in Selma.
Yeah, he's a really good.
And if you nominate him for Best Actor, no one's got a problem with it. Yeah. I don't think that. But at the same time, the guy doesn't have to be a fucking stick in the mud just because he didn't win an award.
It's so stupid. Oh. But that's another thing. Comics are used to, at least some comics, and a lot of comics fail at this. But comics, to me, I always felt comics were guys who just in their, you know, offstage, busted each other's nuts.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And just, like, we're mean and harsh. You and I say horrible shit to each other all the time. And people I've always seen do that. Actors
but here's,
don't have
here's
the ability
point.
To do that.
But this is why actors are infuriating when they don't go along. Because the point of the show is to entertain people. The audience at home, the audience in the crowd. When you come up and you're going to put your foot down and go, like, I'm not, like, you're Oprah. I'm not going to go along with the jokes. Or I'm David Oyelowo, and I'm not gonna sell Neil Patrick Harris's dumb bit. You know, it's just like that's you're there to be part of the show. It's not, you know, it's a show. The comedian should not be at war with, you know, the presenters and those celebrities that are sitting there. You're all part of the show. Make it a good show,
right? But that makes it an untenable job.
Oh.
No, because the host is trying to make jokes for an audience of people watching at home, who are like, look at these Hollywood assholes.
Yeah.
Let's take a shit on them.
But
the Hollywood assholes are in the room going, this is our night to be beautiful.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like Reese Witherspoon doesn't have a sense of humor. I mean,
it's Oprah's reaction. And granted, that joke wasn't good, but you know what? You're making Neil Patrick Harris look bad. And Neil Patrick Harris is doing the best job he can. So if you don't give him help, you know, look, is Neil, you know, Steve Carell sitting there, and the thing he did in the crowd with Steve Carell was funny.
Okay.
And you kind of go, let's have Steve Carell host the Oscars. There's a solution.
I will tell you right now, I didn't think that was funny.
Okay,
and
whatever.
And have you seen an interview with Steve Carell?
Yeah.
The least interesting guy. Steve Carell's a great comic actor.
Well, I mean, but I'm saying,
he doesn't seem to be an improv. It's amazing for an improv guy. Like if you went up to Colbert, he would have said something funny.
Right.
Steve Carell, he said, "Hey, Ed Norton's over."
Well,
there.
But I mean, but to me, that's okay. If you're playing Match Game, that's the right answer, is what I'm saying. Well, Steve Carell at least played along with the bit.
I'd like to
at least that's all. Right, you, that's right, all right. You ask he's of David Oyelowo is no, just play along with the bit.
Steve Carell.
They went to Steve Carell.
He does seem like a really nice guy and a good guy.
Steve, play along, Steve, and Steve did, and that was fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Steve Carell was hilarious.
No,
I mean, and first of all, if you're a human being, whoever thought the Oscars was hilarious, you fucking don't know comedy. You're not a funny person. You know, I talk about sense of humor, and everyone talks about sense of humor. You have no sense of humor if you think what Ellen did with the Oscars was ever funny once for a second. It wasn't. Not for a fucking goddamn second. But if you're going to dump on Neil Patrick Harris for not trying or not being good, at least the guy was trying. That's my point.
Well,
is you try. You at least try. James Franco didn't try.
Oh, James Franco was
James Franco, awful. Watch the interview. It's more James Franco not trying.
Horrible.
The guy but you can't dump on Neil Patrick Harris because the crowd, you know, it's like it was a comic with a bad crowd.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a good comic with a bad crowd. It was a new comic. It was, you know, it was a guy doing his first middle spot in comedy parlance to a one-nighter full of, or you, it was a guy trying to do, you know, a long spot at a corporate show.
I think they used to just have like Michael Caine host the Oscars and like just have a guy host it, but it wasn't like they didn't have to be funny.
Well, Johnny Carson was the guy who did it for a long time.
But then it became a comedy spot.
Right, but Johnny,
it used to be just kind of like a
guy
Johnny, would host it.
Johnny made it funny though, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that's because he was Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know.
And they had Chevy Chase do it, and Goldie Hawn did it. They did it 1 year.
Yeah, well, there's another.
We've done this on the show before. We've run down all the Oscars. But Billy Crystal was the guy that everyone said, you know, you can't do better than Billy Crystal. But I think Billy Crystal had, there was some sensibility. He was sort of old Hollywood. And I think that sensibility doesn't work because they brought him back like 3 years ago and it wasn't no
Billy
one
Crystal
really liked
is cute and gets away with it for being
cute. But it's also inoffensive on the same time. And I think Neil Patrick Harris tried to really be funny, and it didn't work. But, you know, whose fault is
that?
How
did Jon Stewart do it? How was I'm trying to remember when Jon Stewart hosted.
Did Jon Stewart host the Oscars?
Yeah. How did he do?
I don't even know. You'd have to look it up.
I mean, there's a guy that's naturally funny. Rock did it, too.
Chris Rock did. Well, I mean, look, Neil Patrick Harris didn't do a monologue.
Uh-huh.
So he avoided, he knew well enough to do song and dance number, because that's what he's good at. And I thought that was fine, and Jack Black came up and helped him, and that other broad came up and helped him, whatever her name is. What's her name?
Which one?
The girl who sang with Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, who did sing with Neil?
The girl from Pitch Perfect. And
Anna Kendrick.
Okay, so Anna Kendrick comes up, and she's, you know.
She did fine.
She does a lot of that stuff. She's an Into the Woods.
Is she the poor man's Anne Hathaway?
A little bit, but she's more, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
she
you could argue.
She's a Shecky Anne Hathaway?
Yeah, but I actually think she's good.
I like Anna Kendrick. Yeah, Anna Kendrick. I actually liked Pitch
Perfect. Up in the Air was great.
Yeah, Up in the Air.
She's great in that.
Yeah.
And she was good in Into the Woods, even though I didn't like that movie. She was good in it. So, again, if you're going to dump on Neil Patrick Harris.
It wasn't her fault.
Okay.
The writing.
But the other thing is
the writing was going in two different
directions.
Here's the other thing.
Neil Patrick Harris. Okay. Neil Patrick Harris didn't show up at the theater and go, give me the job. It's not like he walked up and they fucking hired the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to blame anybody, blame the Academy for hiring these guys.
That's true.
And then determine who you want, and that's who it is. But every time they announce the Oscar, everyone goes, that guy's going to be great. And then when they're done, they go, yeah, that guy sucked. So,
it is kind of a no-win. It's a horrible position.
You know what? If they hire Sandler and Sandler's competent, people go, yeah, Sandler did a good job. Because everyone think it would be awful, you know? They got to stop hiring.
I can't imagine Sandler caring
being competent. No, and I don't want Sandler, but here's the thing. Don't expect anyone to be good.
Right.
Whoever you think is going to be good.
Oh, thank you.
Don't bless me. Yeah.
But then what I'm saying is.
Just don't hire a guy that you think is going to be. Academy doesn't know who will be good at that.
I think it's kind of like being the backup goalie.
Yeah.
Or what I mean, it's like being the goaltender for the Red Wings. The backup's always more popular. Like, no one's ever going to think.
That's true, yeah.
Like I said, Jon Stewart did it.
Yeah.
David Letterman did it.
Yeah.
Nobody is more accomplished at hosting. You know what I mean? Like, and those two guys are naturally funny comics.
Yeah.
And people went, Letterman, that was terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know what?
I thought Letterman was good when he hosted.
Here's who should host.
Yeah.
I figured it out. I'm solving L problems.
All right, good.
Oprah hosts the Oscars.
Oh, Jesus.
And here's why. Because no one's going to get mad at Oprah. Oprah can do no wrong.
Oh,
there's nothing Oprah can do. First of all, Oprah did terrible. Oprah was terrible and did terrible television for 30 years and is the most revered person in the history of television. So I think you give Oprah this gig. Give it to Regis. There's another fucking load.
Oh.
Give it to Regis. Regis is probably too old
now
to do it. But I'm saying you can only underachieve, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, if you get somebody that's real good,
yeah, you know,
it's
going to
go under
Stephen
their level.
Baldwin.
I'll say Danny Baldwin. I'm going to go.
Here's next year's
song. Yeah.
Pauly Shore.
You say Adam Baldwin, the non-Baldwin brother.
Adam Baldwin.
Why not go for him?
Oh my God.
No, I don't know. I don't know what people want from the Oscar host. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think here's what people ultimately want is they want a shorter show.
Yeah, well, sure.
They want, you know, they want Oprah to not be a cunt. They want movies to win that people care about. And this show had none of that.
It's here. We'll have a quick fix for the Oscars.
You want to talk? Let's talk about the movies that won.
Oh, well.
You want to talk about the winners?
We're just about the show before we move into that.
Let's get through the winners and get out.
The writing was going in two different directions, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Because when Neil Patrick Harris comes out and is playing the bit with David Oyelowo and he's trying to make jokes with Oprah.
Yes.
They also wheeled out Octavia Spencer.
Yes.
Did you notice they wheeled out everybody in show business? Was Scatman Crothers alive? Billy Dee Williams should have showed up.
I know what you mean. They
brought every black
person. Eddie Murphy showed up for no good reason.
Oh,
we'll get to Eddie.
God.
We'll get to Eddie. Let's save Eddie for later. But yeah.
Okay, I was sitting there going, where's Diana Ross? It's like every black person they could
Chris Rock finally made a good movie this year, right?
Chris Rock's movie was well liked.
Okay, so.
But they brought up Kevin Hart.
Sure.
Was Kerry Washington up there?
Kerry Washington was up there, sure.
All right.
It was Davis.
Viola Davis,
yeah, sure.
Octavia Spencer. Yeah. They were just like, we like black people. Look at us.
But, you know, they
and then they were trying to make jokes. It just didn't, they couldn't mesh the tone.
But they act like movies like Precious and The Help never came out, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like America's like this one year that Selma didn't get the Best Picture nomination.
Right. And it's such a travesty that movies about the African-American experience never get awards.
Right. It's
like
it's
12 Years a Slave, which won the Oscars last year.
Which won last year. Yeah. It's
Really?
Well, it's, you know, do you want to? Okay. You can say.
Lupita Nyong'o, who won an Oscar within 12 months.
Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That to me is really incessant blog banging.
That's the problem is people want tokenism. They want importance. They want their movies. Well, look in the 80s when Gandhi and Chariots of Fire and these bloated movies.
I dare somebody to watch Gandhi.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
But Tootsie was nominated that year.
Well, Tootsie's a movie everybody likes.
Tootsie's a top five comedy of all time.
You want to get depressed.
It's a great movie.
But you want to get depressed. Look at like the Oscar races in like 75,
sure,
76.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're all classics.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, you know what I mean? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know, beat out Dog Day Afternoon.
The
like
Oscars
ridiculous.
At some point in the 80s became important.
Yeah.
And everyone thought that it's you know, somehow like the Academy looks better by nominating these important films. And sure, like stuff like Silence of the Lambs has won the Oscar. Return of the King won the Oscar. Avatar won the Oscar. There are exceptions to that, but there's just sort of this thing where Hollywood, maybe when there's not one great movie that everyone can agree upon, they sort of default to let's be British and let's be important.
Yes.
And neither of those things really works. Go watch The King's Speech.
Right.
Go watch that garbage.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad movie.
Actually, I didn't think The King's Speech was that bad, but it's not a movie anyone's going to watch.
No one's 12 Years a Slave. Okay.
Never going to watch it again.
That sold zero copies on DVD this month. I don't have that numbers, but if no one, I'm saying like no one cares about that movie. And then you know like stuff like Dances with Wolves. You look silly when people look back,
right?
And you go, Goodfellas and JFK were nominated that year,
right?
And yet you gave it to Dan.
Well,
why? You know,
you know. But it's the thing I think where people don't have taste.
Yeah,
they don't actually have taste, and they look at it and think, "This is a safe pick.
Okay.
I will look like I'm respectable."
Okay. Let's talk about the 1990s.
Sure.
Let's talk about two movies that would be almost universally considered the best movies of the 90s.
Sure.
I'm going to give you Shawshank Redemption.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
As the two movies. Talk about 90s movies. Those are probably in most people's top five best movies of the 90s, or if you did some poll or something. Of course, they were both nominated for Best Picture the same year that Forrest Gump was, and Forrest Gump won.
Yeah.
So I think that says a lot.
A movie that came out in 1990, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. I gave that example.
Does not
Dances
win.
With Wolves. Yeah.
But, you know, I think Shawshank's a little overhyped, but
I'm just saying, if you ask people now today,
everyone would
which
think,
movie
everyone
Shawshank
think,
Redemption is better than Dances with Wolves, and by everyone,
Shawshank was
account.
A flop when it came out. It's a weird
right,
case,
it's,
but people would think Pulp Fiction,
yes,
won an Academy. They would have think that Pulp Fiction won the Best Picture,
yeah,
because it was a giant cultural everybody talked about Pulp Fiction the entire year.
Yes.
Every critic lost their minds. Siskel and Ebert did whole specials on the importance of Pulp Fiction and broke it down scene by scene. It was copied to the extent where you couldn't look at a you know what I mean?
Right.
Things like Killing Zoe with Eric Stoltz and Julie Delpy.
I mean, 2 days in the Valley.
Things to do in Denver when you're dead.
Yeah.
Every fucking movie for about 3 years tried to be Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And it had a giant effect in the culture. Didn't win the best
picture. Didn't win best picture. So, you know, when
Citizen Kane, the movie every human being over the age of,
Beat it? How Green Was My Valley?
How Green Was My Valley.
Okay, well, let's, you know, Green Was My Valley.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna
there you go.
You know, and that, when I was a kid, I remember being indignant that Star Wars didn't win the best picture.
Right.
Because Annie Hall won. And now as a grown-up, I go, I get the Annie Hall.
Well,
you know,
sure.
Now I go, I get it.
Okay,
but the problem...
Jaws, by the way, I looked at that 75 race.
Yeah.
Jaws was up for Best Picture.
But
it should have, that any other year, Jaws could have won.
But isn't the pick problem this year, and we did this when we did our best movies, but isn't the problem the nominees, though? Isn't the problem that they didn't even have a movie, like I said, Gone Girl was a movie that everybody liked, that was important, could have been on there. You know, something like even Guardians of the Galaxy, everyone liked that.
Yeah.
It was well made. There's no reason. It was well acted.
I think it's part of the reason they expanded the category to 10 so they could throw a couple of those in there.
Why did they not throw them in? The first year they did that, they nominated District 9, which is like a great movie, but I mean, a first time director, a foreign, you know, it was largely made in South Africa. I mean, like, how do you.
Neil Blomkamp might be talking himself right out of show business with his latest movies. He seems to be diminishing in quality.
Well, I don't know, but I'm saying like that's a movie that came out of nowhere and was considered the best picture.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
I just, you know, it's a sham.
It's a sham, dude.
It's terrible. All right, let's go on. So Birdman.
I wish I had the button. I could say it's a travesty.
Birdman wins best picture. The director was best director. Yeah. It won Best Cinematography. I'm trying to see everything it won here. Best Original Screenplay. What else did it win? Maybe that's it. It won Cinematography. It won all these fucking awards. Birdman. A movie that when we rank the top 8 best pictures of the year, Corey.
Yes.
Birdman is where on your top 8?
Like 6 or something. 5,
right.
6.
But, I mean, for me, Birdman is probably... If I'm just ranking these 8 movies, I think I enjoyed Birdman more than Selma and more than Boyhood, but that would be it. So it would be 6 of 8 for me.
I mean, at least Birdman had a little bit of, it wasn't funny in the writing.
Right.
It was funny in kind of the performances.
Sure.
Michael Keaton is just kind of funny in his delivery. And Ed Norton was kind of funny in his character being such an asshole.
But it's
not going to stand.
But I think if you handed out a ballot and said, which was your favorite movie of the year?
Yeah.
I don't think Birdman wins that on any level.
Well,
but you put this little, there's a little crown, a little tiara, if you will, called Best Picture at the Academy Awards. And for some reason, that tiara can only go on certain movies. It's not like people said, name your best movie, name your favorite movie of 2014, let's do a poll. I don't think Birdman wins in any category. I think people attach something to that, and I don't get it.
The only one of these movies that was a big hit was American Sniper.
Yeah. Imitation Game made almost
Imitation
million.
Game, and then I think Grand Budapest Hotel did pretty well based on its budget.
Right.
But, you know, I think there's a problem with Hollywood. They're just not making the kinds of movies that can be both a commercial and critical success.
They blew it. And you know, and Birdman's all right. I'm not saying don't see it. I liked it on a strict thumbs up, thumbs down. I'm not saying, you know, Birdman's not good. It's just, you know, I didn't have it on my top 15 movies of the year. Corey did, but it was not. He was in the middle. And it's just, it's one of those, it's a bunch of actors shouting at each other.
Right.
And,
but,
you know,
as the credits came up in Birdman, I turned to the critic next to me and I went, this is such a self-congratulatory circle jerk of ooh, it's about how hard acting is.
Yeah.
And then there's a critic in it, and the critic is like really awful and nasty and seems to have power though.
Sure, yeah.
So critics are going to love this. Actors are going to be like, oh, it's about a struggle of making art.
Yeah.
And so I just knew I knew there was phony bullshit on this from the get-go.
The Academy would like to see themselves in this fictional character in Birdman. And
You know what they didn't see themselves in? Martin Luther King. They didn't see themselves in Alan Turing, who, you know, was a genius code breaker.
Well, again,
you know, they didn't see themselves in nobody can see themselves in Stephen Hawking because he's this genius nobody can understand.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So what are they going to do? But they said, wait, this is about a guy trying to get his career back. That I understand.
Well, it's ridiculous. And again, you know, my feeling is that, you know, whatever the Oscar for Best Picture, if you want to look at now historically, and just another example of it, they get it wrong. That it's not representative of what the best movies are. It just isn't.
It's frequently not.
And it's a shame. It's a shame. They could get this right, but it takes some you have to think differently about it.
A lot of times, though, movies evolve over time in the public imagination.
Yeah, they do.
Shawshank, you brought up, was the flop at the time.
Yeah.
And it only became popular because I think TBS or
it was I don't know if it was on cable a lot, like HBO, or it was
it was beaten into oblivion found on cable. People came to love it.
People found it on DVD. But you have to remember, too, in that late 90s, that DVDs became the big deal. I mean, I know we assume DVDs have been around for a long time. I think DVDs came out in 98.
Something like that, 97,
yeah, 98. 98 is, I think, when I got a DVD player, and I was a very early adopter. So that would have been right when, you know, Shawshank came out in 94, but it was one of those movies that people went to the store, picked up the DVD, and said, oh.
But there are certainly movies that evolve, like Vertigo.
Yeah.
Now has this huge reputation, and I don't think at the time it was.
No, Vertigo was not considered great at the time.
That it was.
And again,
although Hitchcock in general, the Oscars always snubbed.
But okay, in 10 years' time, will people now? Whiplash was both of our favorite movie last year.
Right.
In 10 years' time, will Whiplash be considered this great movie?
I
think it might be.
I think it. Well, why? There's nothing in Whiplash that won't hold up.
Yeah, it's not going to date. Yeah.
It's pretty much Elemental.
Right.
It's a good story.
Sure.
It's a struggle between two people.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it that's particularly of the time, or it's not trying to.
He's on his cell phone a lot, but that's not.
Well, whatever. It's not trying to make a. Nobody's wearing ridiculous clothes.
Right. Right.
He's, you know, J.K. Simmons wears a tight black T-shirt.
Yeah.
And Miles Teller wears like a dress shirt most of the time, or you know.
So
it's a very classical, simple, stripped down movie.
It could.
It doesn't have any. It'll wear well.
Whiplash could be considered like a movie that doesn't date, and it could be something that, it's like much like The Graduate or something. It is sort of that young man struggle with the world, and those movies generally do well. Because you know what? There'll always be young people, and there'll always be authority figures that try to keep young people from achieving their dreams.
Yeah.
So I think the message is universal. I think Grand Budapest Hotel will probably hold up.
Well, that's because it's such a... It's in its own world. It's in its own pocket universe, so it doesn't relate to anything.
Yeah, I think that holds up, you know, over the years, although...
Well, we'll see how Wes Anderson...
Screwball comedies, who knows?
Well, that's all going to hinge on Wes Anderson, who's so very polarizing. Yeah. But that movie, by the way, worldwide made over $170
million. Yeah, and then...
So that was a success.
You know, American Sniper, I don't really see that dating well.
No, that is not going to age well.
Yeah, it's not dating well. You know, Selma, but again, Selma's
over.
Selma's history. It's history class. It's Selma is, you know, when I see Selma, I hear the sound of the wheels of the AV cart being pushed into the social studies room at fifth hour of high school and us all taking a nap.
Well, it's
that's what Selma is like to me.
It's like Chariots of Fire or Gandhi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's stiff.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's Vanity, I can't remember who it is, if it's Esquire or somebody does a poll of an anonymous poll of Oscar voters. Maybe it's Salon.
Hollywood Reporter does. They did it all week online, and EW does it.
Well,
the quote
was, Selma is artless.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree.
Yeah, I agree.
It's perfunctory. It's there. The story is
good,
important,
yeah.
But there's not a lot of... Whiplash and Grand Budapest Hotel had cinema value.
Right, yeah.
They had artistic value as film.
Yeah.
And that should matter more than what the fucking...
Right.
But that's the problem. They get caught up in what the politics of the story is.
Right. Selma also is a thing where all of the drama is all external. It's all people like getting beat and crying and all of that. There's nothing psychologically sort of happening there. I don't think, you know, there's no like...
Well, we're not privy to it.
No, but it's also like the point of view of it is, you know, it's all done in speeches.
Right.
It's all...
Selma would have been a much better movie if they tightened the focus...
To one guy,
and made it like behind the scenes.
Well,
the best stuff in Selma is like when they come to town and the lady puts them up in the house and they're goofing around.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you were on a diet and eating chicken and stuff.
Right.
That was like, I wanted that. The human story. And
the
then they went to LBJ and all that.
Yeah, that's
shit.
The problem with the story of Selma is you can't tell it from one person's perspective because no one was there for the whole thing. George Wallace wasn't there for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Johnson wasn't there for the whole thing. King wasn't there for the first march when everyone gets beat, King's not even there for that.
Right.
So how do you...
But if they... I'm saying it would have been a better movie if they narrowed the focus.
Let's see. Eddie Redmayne won for The Theory of Everything.
Uh-huh.
He's great as you know, you thought the movie was too schmaltzy. And whatever,
that's an example of a great performance in a movie I didn't care for.
Well, I mean, if Michael Keaton wins, I have no argument.
Hey, when's the last
time
you watched My Left Foot?
What's the one with Jeffrey Rush?
Shine.
Shine. When's the last time you watched
Shine? You busted Shine out lately? No?
Corey, look around you. Do you see Shine in My Left Foot right up on the shelf?
All right. The other night I watched, it popped up on Netflix, and this must be the 15th time I've watched this movie. I watched The Apartment.
Okay, yeah.
With Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine.
Yes.
It's a perfect movie.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
Sure.
I'm never, ever going to watch Shine again in my life. You know what I mean? The English Patient. I will never
put
myself through
the
that
English
piece
fucking
of shit
patient.
Ever again.
Oh, The English Patient.
Yeah.
Well, so Theory of Everything is not a movie you're going to watch multiple times.
I will never watch
it. I enjoyed Theory of Everything. I liked it more than you did. He's good in it, but Michael Keaton or Benedict Cumberbatch, those guys are all good.
I don't think you enjoy a movie about a genius withering away and alienating his family and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's about the woman who loves him and supports him.
Yes.
And but Bradley Cooper is okay in American Sniper, but let's not award that. And Steve Carell in Foxcatcher, that movie's so weird that and sort of one of those movies.
There's another movie
that nothing happened in. Yeah.
Speaking of a movie, I'm never going to revisit.
Absolutely, yeah.
Foxcatcher. Put that on the bottom of the ocean.
All right. Well, no. Here's why. I'm telling you when you're watching Foxcatcher. Here's when you're watching Foxcatcher. Get ready.
Yeah.
You're going to be alone on a desert island. Everyone will be dead. Two movies will exist, Boyhood and Foxcatcher. And you're going to wear that fucking copy of Foxcatcher out, you fat prick. Nobody will watch Boyhood. Zero people will watch that.
Is there even a chick you can spank it to in Boyhood?
No. I don't know.
No.
You can watch Patricia Arquette get old.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't wear a bra
I don't want to shit on... Now, Boyhood is a movie that's amazing in that everybody, when it came out in like September, said, holy shit.
It came out in July, I think.
Early
summer movie.
Really?
Yeah, it was a summer movie.
They were like, I have seen Nirvana. I have seen... I have walked to the mountaintop.
Yes.
And you're right. It came out in July or August. And by November, people were like, that was so boring.
Yeah.
And the tone changed on it completely. I don't know. I liked Boyhood when I watched it,
that's something you'll never... I'm not saying don't see Boy, because as an experiment in filmmaking...
It's amazing.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
As an actual thing...
The experience, it's not good.
It's not fun.
But you know what? But movies, maybe we don't need to make that experiment again, because maybe movies are something like Whiplash. Maybe movies are about whittling down to the best, juiciest stuff.
Okay, well, let's talk about the best actress of the year. And I don't mean Rosamund Pike, who was the best actress of the year in Gone Girl. Let's talk about Julianne Moore in Still Alice.
Sure.
Which is, okay, let me guess. Have you seen Still Alice?
Yeah.
You did see Still Alice. Okay. Okay. And listen, and Julianne Moore is good in Still Alice.
Yeah.
Okay? And you want to give her the award? Go all day. There's nothing about that movie that is better... Turn on Lifetime right now, and there's a movie.
Right.
There's a movie about the creepy neighbor who peeks in at the girl in the shower.
Right.
And it's you know, who knows? Well, it's every bit of that is better than Still Alice. It's such a
it's such
a downer movie.
The same thing with Theory of Everything, though.
Yeah.
It was that it's a great performance in a mediocre movie.
Disagree. Theory of Everything had a supporting cast that was good. It had a certain spirit to it. Where Still Alice is this woman gets sick and it's just fucking depressing. Right. And sad.
Well, you know, here's the problem.
She wets her pants.
Julian, this is
sad.
This is a
sad. And it's sad.
Okay, but this is a case of where somebody should have won an award for another movie. Giving an Oscar.
Julianne Moore has been a great actress for a long time. And what, she had never won before last night? Is that what it is?
Let me see what this is. Has she never won an Oscar before?
Maybe she won a supporting actress for something?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Giving an Oscar to Julianne Moore, it's not like Marissa Tomei where she got an Oscar and everybody went, what the fuck are you talking about? Or Cuba Gooding. Or that asshole from Life is Beautiful. Or
Roberto Benigni.
Roberto Benigni, that fucking Pinocchio asshole.
That Italian genius filmmaker, yeah. Roberto Benigni?
The Italian Jerry Lewis, Roberto Benigni.
I love it. First of all, I love Life is Beautiful. Benigni at the Oscars was way more entertaining than any dickhead last night.
Yeah.
So you can dump on that movie if you want, but.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying.
Look, Julianne Moore was good in it. I know what you're saying. Julianne Moore is good, important, but come on, that movie stunk.
That movie was not fun. No, it's not.
It was not even. I mean, I really don't think I could give that movie a thumbs up to anybody. I mean, I just don't think I would recommend. I don't think there's. I don't think you could find an old aunt that I have, or you know, I mean, I don't think you could find a shut-in that would enjoy this. Like, there's nobody that this is for. It's just not a good movie. And let me tell you what, this Marianne Cotillard in 2 days, one night, you'll jump out a fucking window. That you can't watch, Corey. You're forbidden from watching that. I forbid you from that. You're my friend. I don't want you to ever have the despair, Corey. May you never lose a child. May you live long and healthy and never have to see 2 days, one night.
That was Julianne Moore's first Oscar.
First Oscar, okay.
Now she should have won an Oscar for, Boogie Nights. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, she was good in Boogie Nights.
You can name a dozen movies.
Shortcuts. What was that movie? Safe. Was she was in that people liked
the one with Annette Bening and Mark Ruffalo from Two. The kids
Kids Are All Right. Good movie. Yeah,
she could have won an Oscar
for
that.
Sure.
That so that's just kind of a one where they went.
Life. Yeah.
They looked around and went.
All right.
Have we not given Julianne Moore.
Yeah, I know. And listen, Reese Witherspoon Wild wasn't very good either. She's
Reese Witherspoon campaigned.
Yeah.
Like she went all out.
Well, she produced that movie too. So
and she was really like
she was all in.
Please look at me. I made this film.
She went out. She hired the guy from Dallas Buyers Club.
Mm-hmm.
Best-selling book,
yeah.
And nothing. And then Felicity Jones was good in Theory of Everything, but obviously
she's
wasn't
real young.
She wasn't as good as Eddie Redmayne in that. So if you want to give it Julianne Moore, but Rosamund Pike is Gone Girl. That movie is her all the way. Look, Affleck's in it, and Affleck's good. She is the best thing in that, far and away. That's a great movie.
I don't know what happened to Gone Girl, and I even forgot it on my damn list.
They only did one Gone Girl joke at the Oscars.
Yeah,
but it was like I don't know. That was a phenomenon.
Well, they made a joke about Patrick Harris getting killed, and spoiler.
All right,
Gone Girl.
By the way, let's all watch. Okay, add The Crying Game to the list of Oscar winners.
Wow,
if you want to get into
of Oscar movies you'll never watch.
I don't even know. Did it even win Best Picture, Crying Game? But I know it was. I think it did win Best Picture, yeah. But yeah, add Crying Game to that because no one will ever watch that again.
Man.
We should have the Oscar movie, worst Oscar movie film festival.
Well, okay. The worst ever is Around the World in 80 Days.
Was it? No, wasn't it like The Big Top or wasn't there some circus
movie?
There's
the circus one.
Yeah,
too.
the circus one. The greatest show on earth, I think it was.
Horrible. And you're like, how do these fucking win?
Yeah, but at the time, wasn't it like Daryl Zanuck was so powerful that they can...
Well, yeah.
Well, that's what they said. Well, Shakespeare in Love.
Right.
Shakespeare in Love, Corey.
If you want to read a great...
Give me the nominees when Shakespeare in Love was nominated.
Okay, that was...
That was a travesty of... Because was it...
It was a travesty of a mockery of a sham.
It was a travesty of a mockery of two mockeries of a sham.
Yeah.
Give me the Shakespeare in Love nominees.
What, was it 99?
Could have been. Because I know there was something that year that everyone was like, that fucking deserved to win.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Was it? Wasn't Titanic that beat it?
Well, okay.
What?
Here's a couple right off the top of my head. Ordinary People.
That's a good.
You gonna rush out and watch that over Raging Bull?
It was a good movie, at least.
All right, that would be about 1999. What do we see here? Mother effing Shakespeare in Love.
We'll try to beat you with this because you can't.
Ooh, Shakespeare in Love. Elizabeth, Life is Beautiful.
Okay, Life is Beautiful.
Saving
Private Ryan was great. Come on.
That's the one it should have been.
But Life is Beautiful was... I really like Life is Beautiful. Okay, so go keep going.
Thin Red Line was the other one.
That's good. It's not... Okay. The problem is Saving Private Ryan was a better World War II movie probably, but I like The Thin Red Line a lot. Terrence Malick is great.
I mean, the problem is they got to give this out every year, and maybe sometimes they aren't as good.
Well, I have an article called...
97 Titanic won.
Yeah.
And the only movie... Well, it beat Good Will Hunting and L.A. Confidential.
Yeah. Well, here's
as good as it gets in the full Monty can fuck off.
Okay. But... I have this article. This is from 538.com. This is the year something won, and now they go by, you know, the rankings of top. Okay. Driving Miss Daisy beat Born on the 4th of July.
Mm.
Crimes and Misdemeanors and Do the Right Thing were also nominated, as was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Do you agree with that? Wasn't Crimes and Misdemeanors the best movie that I just named?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. Unforgiven beat The Crying Game, okay?
Well,
so I'm good with that.
Now, what year is it, 93?
It's 92. Right. Unforgiven beat... And I'm actually okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too.
Okay. Braveheart, when the year that won, 95, it beat Apollo 13, Sense and Sensibility in 1995. I'm not outraged at that. I think Braveheart is better than those movies.
Wait, 93 was... I'm sorry. The problem with these is like the Super Bowl. When you say 1992, it's for movies
that came out in 91. It's the movies that came out, yeah, okay. The 1998 Oscars, we did that already. In 2000, according to this, Gladiator won, but Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon deserved to win. You agree with that? Gladiator was good.
I would say... Honestly, Aaron Brockovich is better than Gladiator.
Okay.
I mean, sure.
All right, 2004. Million Dollar Baby is the movie that won. The Aviator, which was very good. Good score. I actually never saw Million Dollar Baby. But the movie that really deserved to win was Sideways. That was a great movie.
Yeah, and you know, although some of the... Okay, 2002, what a weak year.
Yeah.
It was... Chicago won.
Oh, God. God, give me anything.
Okay, Gangs of New York, which is kind of a lesser Scorsese
it's a lesser
movie.
Scorsese, but...
The Hours. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, which is the middle fucking movie.
That's the worst of those.
And then The Pianist.
Yeah, maybe that,
that's a bad year.
That's like this year. Yeah, that's bad. Crash won in 2005.
No, please.
It could have Brokeback Mountain was the one that, according to this, was the snub. I don't agree with that.
Actually, all of the other films are better than Crash in that category.
Give me
Brokeback Mountain, Capote, Good Night and Good Luck, and Munich. All better.
Okay, Munich's the best movie that I saw of those.
Those are all better
Munich's
than Crash.
Great. Good Night and Good Luck suck, but Munich is great. I like Munich.
Good Night and Good sucked?
And nothing happens in that movie. It's 10 minutes yet. All right. 2006, The Departed was the winner.
All right.
And I agree that Little Miss Sunshine is the one that they're saying was the snub, but
yeah.
Little Miss Sunshine's great, but Departed, completely different.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Hard to judge.
Little Miss Sunshine's cute.
Okay, all right. The King's Speech over The Social Network. I didn't like The Social Network, so I don't have a problem with that. And 12 Years a Slave beat Gravity last year, and Gravity was great. Gravity's one of those.
Well, we know that 12 Years a Slave, no one's going to talk about.
No one cares about that, so. We're putting you in the Hall of Shame.
Jesus. I think Milk should have probably beat Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire. What else was nominated Slumdog Millionaire?
Frost Nixon, Benjamin Button, and The Reader. And The Reader's such a slog.
God. I mean, I like Benjamin Button, but I know I'm kind of on an island with that one.
Yeah.
Do you want to go through who else won? I mean, no one had a problem with...
The one good Oscar, the one that no one can argue with is J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons. Mark Ruffalo was good in Foxcatcher, but again, Foxcatcher's such a slog. Who can care of a shit? Edward Norton in Birdman. Who cares? Ethan Hawke in Boyhood. He's good, but again, What does he really do? He's like,
well, again, they got to do this every wallpaper. Year. They got to nominate somebody.
And Robert Duvall getting sort of that old guy.
They're just like, hey, hi, mentioned. You're Robert Duvall.
And the judge wasn't very good. I saw the judge. It's not that good. For Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette won. Although, again, when you talk about default, let's just give it to her. Because Laura Dern in Wild, and again, Laura Dern is fine in Wild. That was the worst part of that movie with the flashbacks to the mom.
That dragged the life out of every time.
Sucked the life out of Keira Knightley in Imitation Game. She's fine. You could have got an actress off the street to do that, though. I don't think she did anything special in it. I mean, she's good in it. Emma Stone in Birdman. Look, I like Emma Stone. I've been an Emma Stone fan a long time.
I remember you losing your mind over her in Superbad.
In Superbad, her first major role, I thought she was great in. But in Birdman, she just yells at Michael Keaton and gets hit on by Ed Norton. It's just kind of sleazy and not very good.
Well,
Meryl Streep for Into the Woods. I almost would be fine with that, but Into the Woods was a mess. And so, you know, she sings, she wears stupid outfits. Meryl Streep.
She sings, she wears stupid outfits.
Now, Meryl Streep. Best animated film.
Yeah.
Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
This is a weak year.
Did you see Big Hero 6?
I did not.
Yeah, and it's good, but it's not. Okay, everyone said, and even Neil Patrick Harris made the joke about if you made the Lego movie, this is the part of the show you're going to want to tune out or whatever he said, you know. Because Lego movie wasn't nominated, and that probably was the best animated movie. It was not nominated. I didn't see all of them, but Box Trolls I thought was a little better than Big Hero 6. How to Train Your Dragon 2, I didn't like at all.
It was a weak year animated.
And Song of the Sea, I didn't see. I don't even know what that is. And The Tale of Princess Kaguya was that Miyazaki, but it was Studio Ghibli, right?
It was, yeah, well, he
it wasn't
direct.
Miyazaki, but it was Studio Ghibli. And although for animated short Feast, which I brought up on our Best Movies of the Year, one Best Animated Short, that was in front of.
I can't pretend
Big
to
Hero
care
6.
About the shorts. I really can't.
Well, Feast. If you get the DVD of Big Hero 6, you get to see both of them.
Okay.
So maybe you should pick
the them. Animated. You know, the animated ones are the only. But that nobody shows shorts in front of a movie.
You can also rent Feast if you want for $3, I think, on Amazon.
Well, there you go.
You should do that. Documentary feature Citizen 4. One Citizen 4 is on HBO tonight as we're recording this. So check your check your HBO on demand or your listings for HBO. See Citizen 4. It's really good. I didn't think it was the best. I thought The Last Days in Vietnam was the best. Documentary that was nominated, but Citizen 4 is real good. Also, if you like Citizen 4, there's a front line called the United States of Secrets, which is about the same subject, which is really far-ranging. It talks to all the people in the Bush administration and the NSA, and they're all interviewed in it, and that's great.
Okay.
It's actually two parts. The first part is almost 2 hours, and the second part is an hour, and it really will complement Citizen 4 good. So the United States of Secrets on Frontline. Go watch that. That's good. And like I said, that's on HBO. Glory, the song, won for Selma.
Well, that's they won.
That's a good song. They also did it at the Grammys, so when I saw them do it here, I was like, okay, I just saw this 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good song.
If you
and,
want to
you
put
know,
me to sleep.
Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah.
I struggle to sleep.
Sure.
I have insomnia issues.
Sure.
Put on John Legend. Oh my God!
He's kind of a milk toast, kind of
he's
middle the of the road,
blandest fucking.
Yeah, no,
guy.
He is. You're right. Completely inoffensive, no sharp edges.
Just the sharp. He's got all the sharp edges of a cue ball.
Well, that Glenn Campbell song was wonderful, wasn't it? I mean,
no.
You had Adam Levine singing that song, and then you had Everything Is Awesome.
Well, apparently, Glenn Campbell's sitting in a nursing home.
Right.
He
lost.
Doesn't
his
know what's going
by
on.
By the way, one of the all time great mug shots.
The Glenn Campbell.
If you want to find the Glenn, sure. If you need a laugh right now, go on Google Glenn Campbell mugshot, and it's fantastic. And then Everything Is Awesome was probably, hopefully, the last time any of the Lonely Island guys will be appearing at the Oscars. And Tegan and Sarah sang that. I don't think they even sing that on the record, right?
I don't know what.
Everything
was
Is Awesome doesn't have that
like,
rap.
Will
in
Arnett
it.
Was in the Batman costume, and I don't think anybody knew he was in the.
Well,
Batman
he's Batman
costume.
In the movie.
Right.
I didn't know that was him in the costume.
Yeah.
Though. Okay.
Yeah, he was.
I couldn't tell that was him.
Nobody knew it was him.
But he's Batman.
So
in the
he
movie.
Went and got.
By the way, that's the movie. Did you know that's a movie?
What?
Lego Batman with Will Arnett.
Oh.
They're making that.
Okay.
So that's the follow-up to Lego Movie.
Well, I've actually liked the Lego Batman video game.
Okay, yeah.
I played that.
Yeah. I have too. It's good. They're up to the third one. Are you under the third one?
I have not played that one yet, no.
Okay.
They add in everybody, the whole Justice League.
Yeah, then it just becomes, it becomes DC.
It's nuts.
Lego. Because there's Marvel Lego.
Right,
and now,
right,
there's,
right.
Now there's Batman, which is basically DC Lego. I don't know what other categories I've missed here. The technical stuff, editing. Best visual effects went to Interstellar and not Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I
which
could.
Which probably
could,
had the best
you
effect.
You could see an argument for that because the apes were pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was crazy. Interstellar's, I thought, was a good movie and the effects were good, but I didn't really get why it went. And then Whiplash did win stuff like film editing.
Mm-hmm.
Whiplash won, what else did it win? It won a couple things. Sound mixing.
Sound mixing and sound editing. the distinction.
Well, it was film editing.
Okay.
It actually didn't win sound editing. That was won by American Sniper.
Well,
which is
okay.
A split vote on
well,
sound.
I could see the sound in American
I mean,
Sniper.
the sound in Whiplash is very important. By the way, that's another thing I hated about Birdman was that fucking drum score. Holy fucking bejesus. Get that. If I never have to hear that again, it's too soon. And I know Whiplash is full of drumming, too, but for some reason it didn't bother me in that.
Right.
I don't know.
It is weird. Those two films had sort of similar soundtracks.
right. Yeah, I don't know. Whiplash is great. Birdman. Yeah. All right. Anything else on the Oscars?
No, put them in a garbage
Travolta.
Can. Oh.
I mean, we got to talk about Travolta.
Jesus Christ.
And I guess after last year, after he does Adele Dazeem for Idina Menzel, I guess you kind of got to bring him back to get the cheap laugh.
Yeah, but that hair.
He the hair
wig.
And like the makeup and the necklace and the outfit. He really looked like he came from like the Scientology rally or something, didn't it? I mean, he really looked like.
It was so bizarre.
He looked like John Travolta, space preacher. Didn't he look like John Travolta?
And you know. I have interviewed John Travolta
yeah.
about three times.
Okay.
I've met him. He's a very nice man.
I'm sure he is.
For a big star.
Seems like a good guy.
He seems to be, I mean.
To a man, seems like a good
now,
guy.
Obviously, they're on their best behavior when
sure.
the press is around.
Yeah.
But he just seems like a lovely man.
Yeah.
Stop already. You know you're not 25.
Well,
stop with that fucking hair.
No, I get that.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, the funny thing is, he goes out without the hairpiece and stuff. He's a weird guy like that.
But he shows up in the Oscars in this pompadour, looking like Vinnie Barbarino, and you're like, what are you fucking doing?
What,
Mr. Carter?
What?
He's got that like big giant like Andrew Dice Clay greaseball. Fucking
he looked, yeah, but he looked kind of small though for him. I don't know. He looked skinny and weird and. Odd looking.
Oh, Jesus.
He just, it's one of those guys who's, I don't even know that Travolta's had work done. I just think it's just like he had some, they plastered man. By the way, speaking of work done, I promised you this, is Michael Cimino. I was reading an article about him. He's the guy who made The Deer Hunter,
Cimino.
Won the Oscar.
Michael Cimino, yeah.
Michael Cimino? The Cimino's wrong?
I think they say it's Cimino.
Well, no one's saying his name because he's out
right.
of show business. But here's Michael.
Well, his career was pretty much over after Heaven's Gate.
Here's Michael. Here, well, he came back. So here he is in 1979.
Oh, it's Billy Joel.
But you know, got a you know, kind of an average looking guy, and here he is today, Corey. Well, that's not it. There he is today. Let me go again. There's before. Here's after. There's before.
Wow.
Here's after, and then I found this Gawker article. It was a Gawker or Defamer, one of them. Where they track, they say Heaven's Gate filmmaker Michael Cimino's face is a real life Benjamin Button nightmare, and they have all of the photos
That's
of him.
That's insane,
isn't it bizarre? I mean, talk
I mean,
about
he looks
odd.
Like he looks like Barry Manilow,
and Barry Manilow is odd looking, but he does look like. He looks like Beck now or something. He went from being
when there's just like when an old
but
guy.
But you can see how, like sort of how he's the evolution
yeah,
here.
When an
article.
Old guy has like baby skin.
Yeah.
Like he just looks like he's bathed in oil.
I mean, look at that.
You know what I'm getting a vibe in between? It's like halfway between Barry Manilow and Spectre.
Phil Spector. Yeah. Phil
you
Spector
I mean?
Kind of. Yeah.
With those big glasses.
Yeah.
It's a horror show.
Yeah, this. But I mean, when you look at that guy, though, but maybe that's why he's not making movies anymore because he's mental. Because when you look like that, you can't be right mentally to do that to your face, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Barry Manilow's not right. Bruce Jenner's not right to his face, to do that to his face and whatever he's doing. That's not right.
I don't know.
It's just
what,
not right.
That is sad. I don't know.
I told you. I know you had. I was talking to you on the phone, and I go, "You haven't seen that Michael Cimino?" And you're like, "No, I haven't seen that." And I go, "Holy shit, let's take a look."
Let's take a good goddamn look. Put that up on the website.
I will. I'll put the link to this Gawker article because it is. It's unbelievable.
It's a hot mess.
It's unbelievable what this guy did. But I mean, literally, Corey, this guy could be like you or something.
Well, the young
in
guy
in 79,
the young
and
guy,
now
he looks like the young guy looks like young Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Billy Joel looks like a hot buttered
now,
ass.
Billy Joel looks like
reason.
Old Billy Joel looks like old Billy Joel.
Uh huh.
This old Michael Cimino looks like an old woman or like a young woman or I don't know what he looks like.
Yeah.
Fucking bizarre. Oh my god.
His last feature film to date was 1996 Sun Chaser.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently he got to recut Heaven's Gate and released it on video, and it did like a festival tour, and people liked it, and that's where a lot of these photos came from. But that
guy's career really unraveled.
Yeah, his career went nowhere because he made and again Deer Hunter, add that to movies no one cares about now that won the Best Picture. That's a good movie. I've seen Deer
people
Hunter,
still
but
talk about,
but
it
hasn't held up. It's not like it's one of those things that
Well, look. No one really wants to watch Vietnam movies. American Sniper did well, and that's a shock because nobody really wants to watch Iraq movies. Either.
Well, Hurt Locker, add that to the list.
Yeah,
No one's watching that. Right. But don't you think that when you're talking about Vietnam,
what was the one about the Bin Laden raid?
Zero Dark Thirty. Zero Dark it didn't 30. Win Best Picture, but Hurt Locker did.
Not a movie people are returning to.
No, Zero Dark Thirty wasn't.
I thought Zero Dark Thirty was very good.
I thought the raid part was good. I thought the stuff with Jessica Chastain sitting in front of a computer
was a little dry.
Was boring. But isn't Full Metal Jacket a great movie?
Full Metal Jacket is a terrific movie.
And maybe it's less Vietnam specific, even though it takes place in Vietnam, than something like Platoon or Deer Hunter.
I would say Good Will Hunting. I mean, not Good Will Hunting. What am I talking?
That's
about?
A great Vietnam movie.
I would say, actually, you know what? I like Good Morning Vietnam. I know.
Oh, Good Morning Vietnam. Yeah, sure.
I know that's a crazy
thing to
say.
Well, I think it's in a little bit of a different category.
It is in a different category, but what? Yeah. Good Morning Vietnam is actually a good example of comedy and drama.
Yeah.
That plays pretty well.
Absolutely.
It's a pretty enjoyable movie. I'm not going to say it's a great film, but it's very watchable.
Good movie.
But yeah, I guess I think Full Metal Jacket. A lot of people would say Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now, again, not.
I find Apocalypse Now to be kind of dreadful.
It's long and heavy-handed, and it's also not terribly Vietnam.
Whereas Full Metal Jacket just clips along.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's great. What can you say? Kubrick. Best.
Good stuff.
Kubrick. Love him. Always good.
What the hell does that button on your jacket mean?
But I mean, all that stuff.
I was trying to say something about the economy of man, sir. The whole war and peace thing.
But all that shit, even, we were doing Adam Baldwin. You talk the talk. You walk the walk. I mean, that's where that came from. I mean, it's all legendary stuff.
Right.
Me love you long time.
It's right.
Full Metal Jacket.
Right in Full Metal Jacket.
One of the,
everything Arlie Ermey did for the last.
Look up when the year that movie came out. And what
was that, 87?
It might have come out the same year as Platoon. I'm not sure. I know it was nominated the year it came out. But, I mean.
I had the damn list, and now I got to go.
Now the list is gone. The list is gone.
I believe that was 1987.
The list is gone.
Let's look now. All right. While I'm doing this, do you want to set up another disaster?
Do you want to talk about the Lady Gaga thing?
Oh God!
We've done an hour on the Oscars, and
we got to get out of here.
I know. I'm done with the Oscars. I could give a shit, and yet I'm talking about it forever. All right. So this woman, Ohio Fox 8 was the station. I don't know what town that is. I'm guessing.
I believe it's in Cleveland.
Is it Cleveland? Okay. Because this woman,
oh God,
Christy Capel, I'll just play it. I mean, I don't think there's anything. So they're reviewing the Oscars. She's talking about Lady Gaga's performance. Let me play this for you. I think you'll hear a little bit of Lady Gaga.
It's hard to really hear her voice.
Lady Gaga gave her a hug and called it wonderful.
It was
wonderful. It's very impressive, though, isn't it?
It's hard to really hear her voice.
Lady Gaga.
With all the jigaboo music that she does. Everyone would call it jigaboo.
Yeah, she has
know,
a
she's golly.
A gorgeous voice. Yeah. I never knew.
And she's sitting there, and this is like a probably a late 20s, you know, white girl with dark hair.
Well, by the way, and does that set look familiar to you?
Well, it's basically the Fox 2 news set from Detroit.
This is all the Fox stations have pretty much the same
set. Sure, and they use the same graphics package and stuff. But this and the anchor she's with is like this old 70s looking black guy in a zoot suit who must be offended by her. And look, she's young enough that she doesn't know what that means. You know, she's not, you know, jigaboo's not a word that's... She doesn't maybe know that that's a racial term.
Okay, I looked her
up.
She's a beauty pageant contestant.
Okay, sure.
She was born in Florence, Kentucky, which is it's like a...
Florence, y'all?
Yeah.
That's what the water tower says.
It's like a suburb of Cincinnati.
Yeah, basically.
I used to go to the Florence Mall.
Hours south of Cincinnati, yeah.
And even less than that.
Maybe less than that, yeah.
When I was a kid, we used to go to the Florence Mall.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too far away.
Yeah, it's about an hour, but I'm standing by my hour.
All right, whatever. we went there fairly often, so it couldn't have been too far. Anyway,
yeah.
You know, suburb of Cincinnati, they get all the Cincinnati TV stations and root for the Reds. And then she was a beauty contestant, you know, Miss Kentucky and Miss Missouri and all this shit.
Yeah.
So she's not exactly playing with a full deck.
No.
I would say that the golden age of Jigaboo was probably 50 years ago in terms of it being in the popular parlance of bigotry, right?
The
who says that anymore? You know what I mean? Like, it's not a maybe 70 years ago. It's not even like a popular
it's
term
kind
amongst
of
races.
Like, yeah, it's like a like not a slave term. I guess it could be. I mean, I don't know if it goes back to slavery.
I don't know if we're going to do the etymology of where it came from.
The Urban Dictionary definition that they have in this newspaper, by the way, I'm not even going to read.
Okay.
So it's just that offensive. It's like, I'm
right, but it's like, it's not even like, you got to work hard to know, like, it's not even a popular racist
word
anymore.
It would be a 40s, 50s term.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly know it.
Yeah.
But then again, I know more.
It's in,
I know more racial slurs
than
the average
guy. In popular culture, it's in Police Academy.
Okay.
You remember the one cop, and he says it to the remember the loser, the timid black girl who kind of has that voice like this, and Bubba Smith goes over and like beats the guy up or whatever because he calls her a jigaboo. She does something wrong, and you know, that was Police
Academy. Anyway,
and again, I'm holding Police Academy out there as this example of popular culture.
I'm gonna
but yeah, this and by the way, well, here's how you know. That she doesn't know the meaning of the term. Because if you wanted to call something jigaboo music, you actually wouldn't use Lady Gaga as an example of it. You would maybe go get your Tyga, or who would you get?
I will give you, this is an example of jigaboo.
You would get
music.
Your Jay-Z or your Beyonce, maybe.
I would say anything with T-Pain.
T-Pain, yeah, okay, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like any...
Yeah.
You know...
right, Nelly or something. Florida.
Sure. Florida, for
Flo
sure.
Florida, yeah.
Sure. Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, sure.
Much
Nicki Minaj.
More of an example of it.
Drake, Nicki Minaj.
Lady Gaga is like gay.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj
disco
is not... Corey and I don't want to define jigaboo music.
I would not have used that term. I would have said pillow biter music.
Well, it would be...
I would have called...
If I'm a lame anchorman, I would say wouldn't know Lady Gaga's voice because of all of the dance music or all of the disc. You could even call Lady Gaga disco without getting it too far wrong for her. That was just a fucking horrible. It's a horrible mistake.
But it's like to make a mistake in the worst way you can.
No, but like, I mean, it's like me calling you. I'm mad at you, and I call you the N-word. That just means, you know what I'm saying? Like that, just because it doesn't apply to it, you know what I mean? It just isn't.
And the host is a black guy,
right?
Who looks he's like a middle aged black guy. Looks like he should be in Morris Day and the Time.
Well, he looks like the touring version of the Temptations.
Sure, right.
You know, like
a
guy who really wasn't in the Temptations.
The younger guy in the Temptations.
Yeah, like, but not a real Temptation, but a touring member now. Yeah.
Sure, he's a fake shy light.
Yeah,
but yeah, and the guy's looking at her like, oh please, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, he's just looking at her like,
oh, yeah. And he goes, and he just kind of goes, yeah.
He just gives this look like, you so fired.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah. He just knows that's going to not end well for her anyway.
Yeah, you can't say. But I mean, it's like you calling me a spick or something. It just, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't apply.
I'm going to use the right, look here.
Right.
Yeah. Look here, Guinea.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the appropriate terms.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you just can't sit here and, you know, you can't. you know.
I do feel a little bad for her because, you know, she blew a spot on live TV, and I know what that's like, but she really blew a spot.
That's bad.
Another ignominious bonehead who might return later on when we do our Spectacular Assholes of the Year show.
Yeah.
The Gawker editor.
Oh, yeah.
Leah Finnegan.
I read that article, too, since we talked about it on the phone.
Okay. Gawker specializes in being awful.
Let me get the headline just so you have it.
Gawker's entire act is celebrity gossip, and then they'll write whole articles about how, you know, Faye is the good yogurt, and if you eat Chobani, you're an asshole. I mean, it's completely ridiculous.
Do you want to read the headline? Can you see it from there?
Wes Anderson brought his girlfriend to the Oscars. She's pretty, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just a shitty little article about how Wes Anderson's girlfriend needs to get a haircut or get a comb, and she's wearing like a weird wedding dress, and how come this weird person is at the Oscars?
Right, yeah.
It was just like how it...
Well, it's sort of like Wes Anderson could do better, I think is also sort of the point. Wes Anderson could get hotter chicks. Like, by the way, if you look, and I looked through the comments on this where they did put up Leah Finnegan's picture, there's plenty of pictures of Wes Anderson's girlfriend looking real hot. There's lots of them down there.
Jaman Malouf is her name.
Yeah, and she's very pretty.
And she's her hair could probably use a hair. Right. She could use a comb.
It's not a great. She kind of is dressed like an old lady, even though she's kind of hot and young.
Jaman Malouf kind of reminds me a little of Frida Kahlo, she's got like big hair sometimes, but she's very pretty. Whatever.
They also claim that he at one point dated Natalie Portman. Wes Anderson.
Well, who wouldn't?
So I guess he's got good taste.
What do you do? Hold that against the guy?
No, but here's a picture of her. Look, right there.
Sure, whatever. She looks like a woman.
Yeah, she's good looking.
This Gawker bullshit. I said, you know, it's like.
Look at her there.
Now pull up Leah Finnegan.
No, I had her. No, it's all in the comments here.
Yeah.
This is Wes Anderson's.
Sure, looks nice.
But her hair is sort of done up a little bit more. She's not wearing the glasses. She's got red lipstick on. She looks good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looks real good. Absolutely. Here's Leah Finnegan, the writer of the comic. Now, granted, she's not on a red carpet or anything, but yeah, it's her selfie in her bedroom. But yeah,
well, she's got big dumb glasses.
Well, look. Here's the thing: you shouldn't dump on the writer for what she looks like. There's no need to dump on the writer for what she looks like. You can just dump on her for what she wrote, which
is
idiotic.
Is
because if we're not gonna dump on Wes Anderson's girlfriend for her looks, we shouldn't dump on the Gawker writer for her looks. We can just say,
although I will give
Wes Anderson's girlfriend never wrote a fucking idiotic clickbait blog post. Yeah. Oh, that's
Leah Finnegan.
Okay. Could you send her a message to call me? Because please just put that in there. Tell her.
Yeah, if she walked into
radio,
if she walked into an open mic, you'd be all for that.
I don't.
Whatever. It's just it was the nasty. Like,
tell her to gain 50 pounds and call me.
Right. That's entirely too true. Oh God, Joel cracking himself. She probably will if she gains 50 pounds.
She's going to have to.
She's sliding down the
She'll
scale.
Be hosting Joel Radio.
When she gets fired from Gawker.
Yeah, sure. But she'll be at the open mic when she loses her Gawker gig.
Oh, God, this fucking. But to me, that was just like, look, we just sat here and shit on John Travolta.
I know.
But you know what? John Travolta deserves it.
Yeah, John Travolta's a guy who's,
Wes Anderson's girlfriend, Jaman Malouf, did nothing to warrant an attack.
Right. Michael Cimino looks like a fucking alien.
Right.
We're going to dump on that.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
But John Travolta's also been like, look at me for 30 years. He's in Scientology.
Sure, yeah.
There's a lot to criticize.
And he's
this
a
is
closeted
a woman,
homosexual from all reports
as
well.
It's a big
so
closet,
a
let
lot,
me tell you. Yeah. And there's nothing this woman did that deserves any of that scorn or scrutiny. It's just bullshit.
Sure, yeah.
And it was terrible. Thanks, God.
Exactly.
What was great is that all of the comments, if you look at that Gawker article, and don't do it because you look at the clicks.
Yeah, I read some of it.
All the comments are like, bitch, go to hell.
Yeah,
like, everybody was just like, you're out of your mind.
But when you're putting this up, I'm guessing, during the show, you're trying to get people engaged in the Oscars. If Leah Finnegan does this on Twitter or something, probably nobody gives a shit, and it just becomes part of the background, part of the noise. But when you're covering it for Gawker, which is a pretty big entertainment blog, you really should be a little more responsible than that. And look, I like that we have shit like Gawker that's irresponsible. I think that's good. I think it's entertaining. It's good for the culture to have somebody who doesn't play by the rules. This is not a good example.
This was just dumb and classless, and it wasn't funny.
All right.
That's what, you know what? That's the thing. You can get away with stuff if you're funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Okay, I think we're done with the I think we've covered it.
Thank God.
And by so Eddie Murphy comes out, he's not funny. So Eddie Murphy is now 2 for 2 in 2 weeks and not being funny because at SNL 40, and first of all, we kissed Eddie's ass on the show. When we were talking about, I said Eddie was the biggest star in America when he was on SNL. They gave him the reverence. He hadn't been to SNL in how many years?
35 years.
He comes out, Chris Rock does a 6-minute goddamn introduction sucking his dick. And Eddie Murphy comes out, has nothing to say. Unbelievable.
Chris Rock slobbed his knob like Sasha Gray at her peak. Do you know what I mean? Like, he put the whole thing
right
to the base of the shaft in his mouth,
yes,
used the tongue,
absolutely
worked the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was the most intense, like, blowjob on television I've ever
Chris
seen.
Chris Rock swallowed.
He did. He had Eddie Murphy's nut all over his face. He came out and did this. Eddie Murphy was the greatest thing I ever saw.
Yeah.
And it was like, what? And then Eddie comes out and goes, hey, everybody.
Yeah.
Like he wandered out. He stumbled out like a homeless man that was on barbiturates.
Well,
he looked confused and I was literally like, did Eddie have a closed head injury?
Well, I think there's some mysteries about Eddie. Now, some of it came out later. That Eddie was asked to be Bill Cosby. You know, Norm MacDonald put this up on Twitter.
Yes.
That Eddie was asked to be Bill Cosby. He didn't want to do that.
Right.
Somebody else said, who was it? Was it one of the writers? Somebody said that, you know, they gave Eddie Murphy time.
Yeah.
They did not know what Eddie was going to do with the time. So they gave him, I think it was David Spade said that. David Spade said, Eddie came on, they gave him a spot, and nobody knew what he was going to do, so I guess they didn't do a run-through, or they didn't do a... See, SNL is known for doing the run-through, but I guess for this one, they didn't do a run-through, so they sent Eddie out. I mean, here's the other thing. Was there a script? Was there something Eddie was supposed to say that he didn't say? Is that what he wanted to say?
Possible.
I mean, that's what we don't know, because he also did the thing about, all right, and then he sort of sent it to commercial, and then they didn't go to commercial, and then he goes, no, you guys, go ahead, let's have more
show. I thought it was pretty funny. You know, they would do in the they had little cuts in the... You know, as they were going in and out of commercial, the interstitials, to like people behind the scenes on the show and Davey Wilson and all that.
Yeah.
And the one after Eddie was Dick Ebersol.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah.
They were just like.
Well, he's Dick Ebersol's who was in charge.
I think Lauren was trying to be like, don't associate Eddie with me. I don't know what that was about.
Look, Dick Ebersol only made Eddie the biggest star in America. You know, so Dick Ebersol, SNL probably for most people. The Dick Ebersol thinking, at least at the time, was absolutely the right thing for the show. And Chris Rock, like Chris Rock was saying, Eddie Murphy kept that show alive when everyone said it was dead.
Sure.
When they lost the original cast, Eddie Murphy was the guy that kept it going. But my feeling is like, and even the speech that Eddie gave, I'm not going to say it's as bad as you say. I'm saying it was a fine. If Eddie had won an Oscar and gave that speech, I don't think anyone would have been unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you can't come out on a sketch show
and do nothing.
And where everyone's being funny. It's one funny guy after another and not do anything.
Even people who are profoundly not funny, like Taylor Swift, are out there trying to do jokes.
They're all trying.
You didn't do a fucking thing.
They're all trying to be funny.
You stood there like a goddamn wax statue at Madame Tussauds and you said, hey, everybody. Right. Like, and Eddie used to just be funny off the cuff and natural.
But that's the Chris Rock speech, the thing was, there was time to kill on one show. So Eddie went out and told this old joke spontaneously. No one knew what he was going to do. So now Eddie comes out 30 years later with nobody knowing what he's going to do, and he did nothing funny. It was unbelievable.
Eddie has, like, lost his fastball.
Oh, my God.
You know
God.
What I mean? It just seems like a guy who's just shaking.
But this is what I'm assuming is happening. There's guys on the phone from movie studios. There's agents. There's guys with scripts. There's guys, probably some of the hot young directors in Hollywood, who are literally standing by the phone, waiting to call Eddie Murphy or his people and offer him a movie role based upon his appearance at SNL 40.
Right.
And I'm guessing those phone calls were never made.
Do you think
he completely blew it?
Do you think Eddie is just brokenhearted?
I think Eddie got so much. I think part of it is Eddie has enough money to not give a fuck. I think when Eddie got raked over the coals about the transvestite and the foot fetish and all that stuff.
Right.
I think Eddie sort of said, hey, Eddie kind of took his ball and went home.
Well, okay, that also, I can see why he didn't want to do the Cosby thing.
Right, and I don't blame him. Yeah,
he's obviously
fine.
No fan of Bill Cosby because in 1987,
yeah,
what was that, 87, 88?
Was
maybe,
Raw came out. Right.
And he did that bit.
He did Cosby on SNL, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And he did the Cosby bit on Raw, which is famous, about him telling Bill to, you know.
You can't say filth, slime, filth in front of
the people.
Yeah.
And fucking the Richard Pryor. It's a great bit, and it's still funny now.
Richard Pryor said, tell Bill to have a Coke's mouth shut
right,
the fuck up.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a classic bit. And obviously, that was one of the earliest people that was like, hey, Bill Cosby, shut up.
You're full of shit, yeah.
And now that's what happened is that Hannibal Buress called
Hannibal
him out.
Hannibal Buress called out. Yeah.
But Eddie called Bill Cosby out on his moralizing, his phony moralizing in 1988.
Yeah. Yeah.
And earlier, you're right, because he used to do Cosby on
SNL. He did Cosby on SNL, yeah.
And he would do like pudding pops and snacks and shit. I don't know what goes on.
He's
like, it's just sad. It's a sad spectacle of a guy who's just broken.
He's got... You know, and I know
he did Dreamgirls.
Right.
You thought it was going to happen for him.
Did he win the Golden? I think he won the Golden Globe because they have the Oscar in a
And I tell you what happened. Between the time
the
Golden Globes and the Oscars came out, between the span between those two award shows, Norbit came out.
Right.
And commercials for Norbit were on TV every day. And the Academy voters went, this is still Eddie Murphy. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And
they went because they were looking like they didn't want to be embarrassed if the guy who played Norbit was going to stand up and win an Oscar. And they just said, we're not having that.
I think that really.
So
what
fuck you, then. Eddie. But the thing about Eddie, because people, Eddie's not funny. The thing is, when Eddie tries to be funny, it's Pluto Nash and it's Norbit and it's the Nutty Professor.
Uh-huh.
And that's not funny to Eddie Murphy fans, people that grew up with Eddie Murphy. It might be funny to a 10-year-old kid. But it's not funny to people who are Eddie Murphy fans.
We haven't seen... Okay, the last movie he did that was okay was the one with Steve Martin.
Bowfinger. What was it? Bowfinger, yeah.
He was actually pretty good.
Yeah, Bowfinger was okay. Yeah.
But we haven't really seen Eddie Murphy as the way we remember him in forever.
And so, you know, I guess either that's what we're going to get. You know, I'm saying if we ask Eddie Murphy to be funny on SNL and he comes out and he does, you know, Norbit, no one's going to like that, you know, and I guess Eddie's not. But I think that SNL 40 is the perfect time to come out and do Buckwheat and do Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood and do James Brown and Stevie Wonder and just do that shit
any
on the goofy show, you know?
Okay, if he came out in the fucking Gumby outfit.
Yeah, right.
We would still
absolutely.
Be, everybody would have lost their everybody's brains. Would have exploded, splattered gore all over the fucking... Everybody would be like, I never saw anything greater than 53-year-old Eddie Murphy coming out and doing Gumby.
But, you know, why not? You know, it was... You know, Dan Aykroyd did Bass-O-Matic. Not that that was a highlight of the show, but at least it's like, we'll never see Dan Aykroyd do Bass-O-Matic again.
Right.
He'll probably die before he gets an opportunity again. So, fine. You get to see Will Ferrell do Alex Trebek one more time.
Sure.
You get to see Norm do Turd Ferguson one more time.
Everybody came out and Carvey did fucking Chopping Broccoli.
Wayne's World they did one more time. It would have been perfectly in step with the show to just come out and do one of your funny characters, Eddie. And even if it bombs, because, you know, Dan Aykroyd wasn't funny on there. But you know what? No one holds it against him.
But everybody wanted Eddie Murphy to be good. You know what I mean? It was like, it really was.
But he didn't have to be good. He just had to be okay, and he would have been a fucking hero.
I know.
You blew it. He completely blew it.
He whiffed.
Completely blew
it. It's tragic. It's really sad to see, like, because he was so dominant and great on that show.
But he also has made so much money, he doesn't need it. And he doesn't need it for, and I guess it's good that he doesn't need it for his ego, but I don't feel like he's a guy like Steve Martin and Steve Martin's doing King Tut on SNL.
Yeah.
And Steve Martin doesn't like
Steve
to do
Martin's
that shit.
Steve Martin's in his mid-60s. Right. He's out there in a body
Steve Martin doesn't do stand-up. It's funny, too, because, you know, Steve Martin doesn't do stand-up anymore.
Right.
But he travels with his bluegrass band.
Well, he and Martin Short are doing a show where they just bullshit with
no,
each other.
No, 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 you're wrong. I looked it up.
Oh,
he's playing with his bluegrass band.
He's doing bluegrass?
They are going to do some shtick together.
Okay.
But you're also going to get to see Steve Martin play the banjo for a long time. Oh, so I think basically Steve Martin's going to play the banjo, and then Marty's going to come out, and they're going to do some shtick. And they're gonna
that kind of amazes me, though.
Because I kind of went like, I'll go to Steve Martin and Martin Short, but I don't think Steve Martin playing the banjo.
But, you know, this is kind of amazes me. When people have side projects like this, not a soul has bought a ticket to Steve Martin to see him play banjo.
Sure. Well, Woody Allen plays the clarinet, and it sells out every night. You know?
It's a smaller venue.
It's a small, but Woody toured, and didn't you see Wild Man Blues?
That's true.
Woody's toured
but
with that
what
group.
Is he plays in that club in
he
New
plays
York.
In Joe's Pub or whatever,
And it's a small place, and I think people would probably, the people who are going to go watch jazz.
Yeah, but it's, you they're know, it's going like, to see Woody play the clarinet.
Did you go see Dog Star when Keanu Reeves
I did
there?
Not.
Yeah.
I believe tonight, look, I'm saying this is every bit as good, but I think Leighton Meester is singing tonight at the Magic Bag.
Okay, good.
So let's go over there and look at her tits.
Did you watch 50-odd Feet of Grunt?
What was 50? Oh, that was Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
No, I did not see 50-odd Feet of Grunt.
The one exception I would say that actually is a pretty good, it's She and Him. It's actually a pretty good musical project.
Okay.
That's Zooey Deschanel's
and,
thing with M. Ward.
M. Ward, yeah.
That's actually good.
Well, the one that's
I'd go see
Jared,
that for
Jared Leto's
itself.
Band is consistent. I don't care for that music, but they have a real following.
That's more legit than some of the other ones.
Yeah, I think Jared Leto is legit.
But these Hollywood bands. But no one's going to see Steve Martin play the fucking banjo.
Nah, I know, but he's gonna go play the banjo.
I saw Tin Machine.
Yes.
Which was David Bowie as a side project.
Right, but that's still mute. Yeah. Okay.
But everybody's
sort
there
of works,
was there
yeah.
going, Ziggy!
Yeah.
And you're like, no, he's not gonna do the Ziggy stuff.
And Bruce did the Seeger sessions, which a lot of, you know, he had to play small venues because he knew the fans wouldn't come out. So he played like DTE when Bruce did that, where he'd be playing in an arena or stadium. Although Bruce did do some of the old songs in a new arrangement,
understand
like that as much.
I understand that artists get stuck doing stuff. Like,
You
think the Rolling Stones want to do fucking Start Me Up One More Time?
They want the money. Jumpin'
Jack Flash.
Start Me Up.
You know what I mean? They don't want.
Right,
they don't want to have to play that shit one more fucking time.
McCartney seems to have no problem.
Paul just comes out, whores it up.
Does it?
Maybe I'm Amazed. Anything he fucking. Lucy in the Sky, whatever he's going to do. He doesn't even do his own songs. He does, like, John's Beatles songs,
The last time I saw Paul, he did Day in the Life, where he sings all the parts. I mean, he sings one part in Day in the Life on the record, but he sang all the John parts. He does a version of Something.
Yeah.
You know, the George Harrison song, sings that.
Sure.
But,
I mean, he's singing...
Does Give Peace a Chance?
Yesterday for the 5 millionth time.
Paul has no problem doing that. Now Paul did have in the 70s and the early 80s he would do Blackbird and like Yesterday,
right,
but he wouldn't do Let It Be, and he wouldn't do Hey Jude.
Well, I think he felt
he wouldn't
like
do a lot of the Beatles
I think he
stuff.
Felt like Yesterday was completely his.
Blackbird is him,
and then that nobody else was involved in it, so
he would do those with Wings, but he didn't do a lot of Beatles stuff until 89. And then Paul said, fuck it, I'm doing all of them.
Well, what are you going to
do? Fuck you.
I wish Eddie would do something.
Yeah, Eddie needs to do something.
He was the biggest, no pun intended, don't think I'm the reporter from the Cleveland Fox 2.
Yeah.
The biggest black mark on the SNL event.
Yeah, the SNL show was too long.
But Eddie was the biggest bummer.
He was the biggest disappointment,
Chevy Chase was fucking out of his mind.
Well, Chevy Chase wasn't good, but at least Chevy came out and tried to
do a little shtick.
He did the bit with Garrett Morris.
Sure.
I mean, Chevy, I don't know what, because it's funny, because Chevy, you saw Chevy how many years ago on Community? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Where he just kind of looked like old Chevy Chase.
Now he really
looks
bad.
Like real fat and like bloated, and
maybe he's on some medication.
Maybe he's ill, I don't know. I hope Chevy's all right, but I mean.
Anyway.
Not good.
Bill Murray comes out, meanwhile.
Yeah, I know.
And crushes.
Well, you know, that's Bill Murray.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And as you and I said off the air, I think it exposed the people that were funny.
Oh, absolutely.
The people that weren't funny were exposed.
Absolutely.
And the people that could deliver.
Absolutely.
Dana Carvey got laughs.
Sure.
Bill Murray crushed it. Martin Short was good.
Norm MacDonald was funny.
Maya Rudolph was funny
Maya
in her
Rudolph
bit.
Was good, yeah.
Then, but the people who fucking stunk up the joint
yeah.
were exposed.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why a lot of them weren't there.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't see Rob Schneider.
Well, you know what? I saw some, you know, I know the people were talking about, and I was like, Sherry O'Terry was in the audience.
Right.
Why they, see, my feeling with that SNL 40 is why not just do, make the list of the 20 best sketches in SNL history. And do a modern version of
right.
those. That's what I would have done.
Well, I think that's why they did Jeopardy, because they could get a bunch of people
because they knew
in.
They could get a and they did the Californians for that. But no one liked that bit when they did it originally.
The Californians
no,
is
it's a terrible bit. And they just kept adding people in there. I mean, they did mm-hmm. Spade's flight attendant bit at the end of that, which didn't
like
work.
2 seconds. It was fun.
And yeah, I know. But it just that whole thing, they needed to do more sketches with more people, more of their favorite characters instead of less. I mean... They did some, but, okay, no one needed Miley Cyrus covering Paul Simon.
Not at all.
No one needed Paul Simon doing Paul Simon at the end. That was just that was a Lorne Michaels
well, that, okay, but that was like, okay,
rim job, right, if right. you ever saw one.
The thing with that, though, was just it was like, if I did some big special and you didn't show up, you'd probably be like...
But he had already been on once.
I know.
He came out in the beginning with McCartney.
McCartney did the bit, and that was fine.
And that was good.
No, that was just Lorne being like, let me put my buddy on.
And do we need Kanye?
No.
No, nothing.
No one
needs,
ever needs
no
Kanye.
No one ever needs Kanye.
Get him the fuck out of
no
everything.
One ever needs Sia, who was with Kanye. No one ever needs that.
That was
she was awful on the Grammys.
I kind of understand Sia. That I understand that where they're like the show has Lorne Michaels is like
yeah.
The show's always been about
progressive
music.
Stuff. Yeah,
we just are always doing the future.
Sure.
So he was going to put hot musical acts because that would get pub for the show.
Okay, but Kanye, I mean, I guess you got and they're trying to be diverse.
You know, I didn't see Paul Simon's wife, Edie Brickell,
no.
and New Bohemians come out there.
They were nowhere to be seen.
You know, no, he brought out relevant music acts. I get why they did that.
Yeah.
But he let fucking Taylor Swift do a sketch.
In yeah. Well, she could have sang, so I guess we did better without her.
Californians, it was
yeah.
horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. It's SNL. You know what? Even at its best, it was uneven.
Yeah, it was very uneven. And again, yeah, Bill Murray, funny. The guys you thought were good, and again, I think we nailed it with our list of guys
mm-hmm.
and who I thought were the biggest names of all time yeah. and who I thought were the best guys. I think we nailed that. I think
Norm MacDonald was funny.
Dennis Miller not being there, although I read that Dennis Miller was invited and turned it down.
He said he was invited.
Okay, so.
He went on Twitter and said, yeah. Lorne invited everybody, and he's a man of his word, so.
Okay.
I think Dennis wasn't mad about it. He just didn't go.
Just didn't go. Probably should have been there.
Dennis should have been.
They could have used him.
When they brought out all of the update hosts,
yes.
it would have been nice to see.
And again, the update host, that was a great segment in that everyone is exactly exposed for what they were. Kevin Nealon wasn't funny.
No.
Colin Quinn can't read a fucking cue card.
He fucked up a cue
he
card.
Completely
he was writing.
But that's exactly what he was known for.
He was reading a joke.
That's exactly what he was known
okay,
for.
Okay, now,
Norm was.
Did you think that was intentional?
No, he just fucked up.
He was reading a joke about how he couldn't read a cue card.
Yeah, and then he fucked
up. And he fucked the cue
yeah,
card.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I don't think Colin's that well thought out. I think he just actually fucked up. And then Norm was sort of spontaneously funny. And then Seth Meyers read the copy absolutely perfectly
right.
with precision.
Well, that's
without any variance whatsoever.
But again,
yes.
This gets back to what we were talking about in the Oscar hosting.
Yes.
Seth Meyers is good
yeah.
at that job.
Yeah, he's good. He's good at that.
Seth Meyers
but I'm not
is
saying,
polished at that.
I'm not saying you want the guy. I like that you have the Norm who can kind of go off the script and be funny. And I think Seth Meyers sometimes is a little too, is kind of reading the jokes a little bit.
He's a little rare.
But that's his style. And it was everything you thought those guys were going to be.
Well,
exactly.
You
want to
know what the difference
out.
Is? Okay, Colin fucked up.
Yeah.
But the difference is Norm MacDonald is a stand-up.
Yes.
And
well, Colin's a stand-up too, but Colin
Kevin Nealon is not a stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
And Seth Meyers
actually, Kevin Nealon does do stand-up.
Oh, does he?
He's not known as a stand-up.
All right. Well, Seth Meyers isn't a stand-up either. So, right.
But yeah, but that show was you know,
I don't know why they felt the need to do the bit with the Melissa McCarthy.
Oh
be,
God, and
that
yeah.
was bad.
Emma Stone being Rosanna Dana. That
yeah.
that made no sense. And then you mean the opening? Look, okay, I'm going to say this now. Okay.
Yeah.
It's twice in a row they did it. Twice in a row. Now, listen, I'm going to say it bombed because I watched it bomb with my own two eyes. I listened to the audience that was in 30 Rock on the night that they did this and it bombed. And I know that maybe the reaction the next day.
Yeah.
But when they had him host, where Jimmy hosts and Justin was the musical act, And in the opening of SNL 40, the Jimmy Fallon, Justin Timberlake thing is ate shit twice in a row. And I'm not, I'm talking objectively, taking my own personal bias out of it. That did not work at the beginning of SNL 40. It didn't work the last time they did it on the show proper. It's enough. It's over.
Again, I think that's a situation. Over. I think that's a situation where the audience for that was a bunch of VIPs.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the SNL 40, which was watched by like 40 million
people.
It was
watched by a ton of people.
Some,
yeah.
And then they replayed it. Yeah. So it was seen by a massive amount of people.
Yes.
And guess who? Look, again, Bill Murray delivered.
Jimmy Fallon not funny. There
and,
we go.
And, you know, people just shit the bed.
Jimmy Ugh. Fallon not funny. Where was Jimmy Fallon? By the way, before late night, and maybe you can do some investigation, where was Jimmy Fallon?
He did movies.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I got Jimmy Fallon.
You're trying to remember you forgot Pitch Perfect? You're trying to tell me you forgot Pitch Perfect?
He's in Pitch Perfect?
With Drew? No, I mean, no. What is it called?
Oh.
Picture Perfect? What is the one with Drew Barrymore?
It's the one where they win. They're like Red Sox fans.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I screwed the title of that up.
No, I'm like, what? So Jimmy Fallon made two movies between SNL and Late Night?
Jimmy Fallon
made Taxi?
Taxi with Queen Latifah.
Okay, give me the Jimmy Fallon.
Running down the Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, give me the Jimmy Fallon filmography. Give me all the movies I'll never fucking watch. Give me all of them. I want the fucking full list. It was a Farrelly Brothers movie about the Red Sox. What was that called?
I'm trying to wait for the thing to load.
What's your problem?
I'm waiting for the IMDb is loading. All right. Listen. I don't understand why it's not working. All right.
You know, mine's not working either. Now it is. It's working fine.
All right. James Fallon. His films include Fever Pitch.
Okay, that was
Whip
that
It.
Oh, God. Oh, God. So basically, he got that show being good in nothing. That's what we have.
Yeah, well.
Jimmy Fallon's Ofer. He's never been in one good thing, right?
Whip Is that It, Factory Girl. So he was trying. He was out there trying to have a film career after he left SNL.
Okay, so I have.
He played the voice of Dylan in Dougal. He was in Arthur and the Invisibles as a voice.
Oh, God.
Fever Pitch, Taxi.
Whip It.
Oh,
yeah.
Anything Else. The great Woody Allen
movie
with
my
Jason
God.
Biggs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not a good film career. Well, isn't it always the thing, though, where guys goof on, like sometimes those guys that are great hosts have a terrible film career?
Well, like Johnny Carson did a couple movies that weren't good.
Yeah,
and you know, I don't know. Letterman was in Cabin Boy, but it was a cameo.
Sure, Letterman famous. Always goofs on that.
I'm trying to think who would have been in movies.
No, I think you can't be both. I think you got to be a host.
Yeah,
Jay Leno was in Collision Course. With
yeah, that's a bad movie.
Yeah,
isn't Jay in what's the other movie Jay's in?
American
Hot
Wax.
Yeah, it's a good movie. For its time, I don't. You know, it's
all right. We've now lost anybody that was. Still
all
listening.
Right, let's. Maybe
I've
we
had
should
enough.
Wrap up. You had enough.
Yeah.
Anything else on SNL 40?
Well, they both. Well, so okay, we've determined.
But are you at least in agreement with me that it's over for Jim? Look, I'm not saying when they did the stuff on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, where they came out and they rapped together. I get why people like that. Even though, here's what I'm saying. I'm taking
that
my
audience,
own personal bias
that
out of it.
That audience was not comprised solely of 23-year-old girls.
Okay.
So maybe Jimmy has another shot. I think, hopefully,
yeah.
The tireless work we do, which no one hears.
Yes.
I hope that no someday we will be recognized as the pioneers.
Oh.
Not just of podcasting, which we certainly were.
Oh.
Podcast pioneers.
Oh.
Every time some dickhead goes, hey, what if we review porno movies on a podcast? I say,
you know what?
We did it in 2006.
Met a guy the other night who was telling me about his podcast. He's just a kid off the street.
Sure.
And he was telling me about his podcast. And I said, well, you know, I do a podcast. He goes, well, I got this podcast because I swear to God, I'm not making this up. He said, I'm doing a podcast. He didn't even know I was a stand-up at this time. He was talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I met. And he goes, I started a podcast because my favorite comedian is Jimmy Pardo. And I love Jimmy Pardo's podcast.
And you were like,
and I go,
Jimmy Pardo did our podcast before.
And I said,
hold
on. Joe! I said, hold on, young man. Okay. Jimmy Pardo was on my show. I got I helped Jimmy Pardo start his show. And that's why Jimmy Pardo. And again, I'm not taking away from Jimmy Pardo's great. His show was funny. I love Jimmy. But I had to tell the kid, you know, look.
But they don't. They'll never. They'll never believe you, Joel.
I know.
It's like we did this in a wind tunnel, and no one could hear
it. Well, listen. Maybe I will try. We are. I believe the next show we do will technically be the 10-year anniversary of you and I doing a podcast. Fuck. So if you want to do, we can do
spectacular.
We saw SNL 40. We'll do JR 10 if you want.
Oh Jesus Christ!
10 years of or CJR 10 or
yeah, there
you
go. We'll do the
whatever you want to call it. Oh, and it'll be our 10-year spectacular. I'm going to ask.
Well, let's get some broads in here and fire up the hot tub.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see. I think in 2 weeks his career will be so in the toilet that I'm guessing we can get Eddie Murphy on.
Exactly.
So we'll have Eddie Murphy come on. And
it's nice to be here.
Hey, man, I just want to thank everybody for saying. It really means a lot to me that you all enjoyed my work. That's what he comes up. Well, you know, we actually, when we did the 200th show. I think we did Corey and Joel 200. We did the show where we brought everybody back. And we had a panel of comics.
We've been doing this so long.
We've already done the SNL 40 gimmick. We've done it all.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing left to do.
But I'm just saying, we pioneered, we innovated at every step.
Sure.
And we've been on ahead of the Jimmy Fallon sucks curve.
Well, let's bring back Cherry Brooklyn and spank her.
I'll spank the shit out of her.
Is that what we can do? Can we finally?
I'll spank everybody.
Why did we not have a review 50 Shades of Grey, Corey? How did we blow these?
I'm going to make a call.
How did we blow this?
Now. Hold on.
Call her on the air. Put her on speaker.
Why don't we have?
We'll plug it. I'll plug it in.
Why don't we have Tenney? Why don't we have Tenney review the ghost of Eddie Murphy's career? You can go find that.
Hang by on. The way, Tenney ran into Gallagher the other day.
Yeah, we'll be that breaking
which
story.
Which I would like to see what he thought of Gallagher.
You will get a John Tenney response from Gallagher.
Because I would like to know if he just told. Was he telling lesbian jokes at the airport? What was Gallagher doing?
Lesbians.
Because you know Gallagher went back on the road. That's why Tenney ran into him. He had to retire. He had a heart attack on stage, doing Sledge-O-Matic. And now he's back on the road. I guess he needs money. So.
You know what was amazing? Okay, one of Amy's friends, one of her bridesmaids, actually, is kind of in a pop culture bubble.
Yeah.
She's just a girl that doesn't, like, know all this stuff.
Yeah.
She'd never heard of Gallagher.
Sure.
So we showed her Gallagher clips. And she sat there and laughed at the fucking
Magic. Well.
But I'm just like.
But I.
It was amazing to know someone who'd never seen Gallagher.
What was the Comedy Shop or whatever that was on Hulu that you
1978.
I watched the Gallagher bits on there, and I went like, "These are, he's pretty good in that time,
right?
You know, but yeah,
it just was amazing that she'd somehow missed Gallagher for the last 35 years.
You know, people have forgotten about Gallagher, and deservedly so.
People have forgotten about us.
No, they haven't. We're continuing.
Well, what do they do if they remember us, Joel, and they'd like to donate?
Oh yeah, you can donate. Go to the front page of JoelRadio.net. Scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the PayPal donation. If you want to throw us a few bucks, we're not asking for Patreon. You have to give money every month. We're not doing Kickstarter or GoFundMe or any of that shit. We're just taking the generosity of our fans. If you want to give us some money, we'll get Corey a shock mount or something maybe with the money. Maybe we'll get some new equipment. Whatever. We always need some dough to help improve the show.
Mm-hmm.
It is much appreciated, those who have already donated. Any amount's fine. You don't have to give what you can afford, and we'll keep giving you shows. The 10-year anniversary is next month, and I'm sure we'll probably do something. I don't know what, but we'll do something, so that's all I can.
All right.
That's all I can promise is something. I can promise something. I can promise on delivering something. It will be something more than nothing.
Which would be more than what Eddie Murphy did on
which
SNL.
Which was absolutely nothing.
Or the Oscars.
So, all right. So, why don't I cue up the Jigabee music, and we'll get out of here. And
the Jigabee? You just made up a word. A new racial slur has been created right here.
Anyway, Joel Radio, thank you. Thank you, Corey. Joel Radio on Twitter. Corey Hall Comic on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
We're on Facebook. Joel Radio and our individual names. And thank you all for listening. And we appreciate 10 years of your thoughtful fandom and listening.
Is this the playoff music? Look at the Oscars.
Yes. I just want to say, and if I could thank my mom. No,
wrap it up.
And they're kind of doing this to that guy. And let me just tell you about my family.
Yeah.
And then I want to thank my dog. And then, no, I just want to say, but if I could just think.
Would you let the poor bastard that won sound mixing speak? No.
Oh, God, those poor guys.
Play those bastards off.
Terrible. Terrible.
Oh.
And I love that. And by the way, let's have the fucking band in the building.
Oh,
the band doesn't need to be at the Capitol Records studio. I know it takes away from the good seats, but who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? You know? Bradley Cooper and his mom can fucking sit in the third row. Who gives a shit?
Oh, God.
Is that guy a friend of Judy or what with the mom? Is that guy with the mom every year? With the mom every year?
I don't get with the mom every year.
The mom every year?
No,
come on.
You know what I think?
Come on, Bradley.
I think
let's do it, Brad. Come on.
I think the
come
mom.
On, you can do it, Bradley.
I think the mom is a safe bet for him.
Oh.
So that whichever one he is fucking doesn't get mad about the other one he's fucking.
The mom. Give me a fucking break.
What?
The mom.
I'm just saying.
The mom.
Didn't we talk about how he and Jennifer Lawrence must have
been I know. They have a third movie coming out together.
Yeah. No.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, was Kevin Spacey at the Oscars? Maybe he should take Bradley Cooper.
Everybody. Good night, everybody. Michael Cimino, Bruce Jenner, Kevin Spacey, Bradley Cooper, all on the Next Joel Radio. Good night.